All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and light me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient
Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here on Wacker. Yeah, downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It is Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. You're two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. You guys program the bumps. The theme this morning, two for Tuesday. So 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. It is Tuesday morning. Yes. Good morning. Our good buddy Tom Appel is going to join us for his monthly visit. He is a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, and there are always lots of car and automotive stories to discuss. And again, he'll answer any and all of your questions. If you're looking to buy a car or lease a car, you have a car question in general, an automotive question in general, anything that has to do with cars, he'll be happy to help you out. And he's going to be with us live in just a few minutes, so get your questions ready to go. Call or text them in at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Also coming up this morning, we're going to talk about some... We were talking about a bad, hilarious sort of like Japanese or foreign knockoffs of products and brands. Yesterday, we were talking about how there was an action figure that was a knockoff of RoboCop. Because RoboCop, you know, obviously became a very big franchise and spawned a bunch of action figures and toys, even though the movie was one of the most violent films ever made. But they did have toys and stuff aimed at kids, and they had RoboCop action figures. Well, the knockoff that we found that I thought was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, the knockoff, the Japanese knockoff is Robert Cop. So it's got the same font, you know, the same logo as RoboCop. Obviously, they couldn't get the rights to it. There are a couple of design issues that are a little bit different, but it resembles RoboCop a lot. And with the same font, it was called Robert Cop. Now, there are a lot of really ridiculous knockoffs out there, and we're going to go through some of them and talk about them. So that's coming up. Also, some really terrible garbage roles that actors took just for the money. This topic, is it going to be strictly about Nicolas Cage? Is it just going to be about him?
I mean, that could be a list in of itself.
That's what I'm saying. And then this one's a fun one. I was tooling around online. And I found this. They put together the list of the most paused movie scenes of all time. And you can imagine that a lot of them involve nudity of some kind. But some of them involve like some really weird stuff going around in the background of the frame. So we're gonna tell you guys about some of the most paused movie scenes of all time. So that the next time you watch a movie, maybe that's a scene that you might want to stop and take a look at. But yeah, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example, and this one does involve nudity, but one of the most paused movie scenes of all time, is Phoebe Cates coming out of the swimming pool with the red bikini on, in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And that is when, and I am absolutely guilty of doing that myself as a teenager, when that movie first came out on video. Yeah, so that's an example, but there are a lot more to it. It's not just about nudity, although many of them involve that. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the most paused movie scenes of all time, and we would love to hear from you guys about which ones of you were ever guilty of like checking out or pausing. So that's some of the stuff we're going to be talking about. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, get your requests in now. You have a Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. And then in just a couple of minutes, Tom Appel is going to join us to talk car and automotive related questions and concerns and all of that stuff. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. You can also subscribe to our podcast. Lots and lots of people listen to our podcasts, and we are very, very thrilled about that, and we thank you for that. Lots of people can't stay up between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. every weekday morning, so they choose the podcast. It's real easy. It's free. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. It's free. Every single second of every single show is podcast every day. So it'll be sent to you automatically to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there you go. Good morning, everybody. Let me say hello to my great producer, Tom Hush. That's a Freudian slip right there.
Oh,
Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Happy October.
It is October. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
There you go.
Rabbit, 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 everybody. And yeah, I remember back in the day, Wally Phillips used to do that every morning. Every morning of the first day of the month. You got to do it. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. So it is October. It's my my favorite month of the year.
Yeah, man.
October is my favorite month of the year. So we got to do some... Now, are you planning on watching a horror movie every day for the month?
Yes. The marathon begins today. Going to watch Nosferatu.
The original or the...
Yeah, the original.
Okay. You know, the remake's not bad.
It is not bad
with Klaus Kinski.
It's great.
Yeah, and crazy-ass Werner Herzog directed it. But no, the original is just... legendary and still really scary.
Yeah, it's freaky. Yeah. I mean, it's just the big wide open eyes is Max Schreck.
Yeah. Now, have you not seen Shadow of the Vampire?
I have not seen Shadow of the Vampire.
Got to see it.
Yeah.
Got to see it. Willem Dafoe plays Max Schreck. Malkovich plays Bernal. You got to see it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about the making Nosferatu, and it's really good.
I'll try to fit it into my plan because you have to plan it out.
Yeah,
I've got a whole Romero week ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna do we're gonna run the gamut here, slashers here, and maybe some psychological thrillers here and there. Mm-hmm. So, my plan is to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Double feature on Saturday.
Okay.
And then Sunday as well, I'll watch one. So I got to give myself one day of the week where I just take a little break.
Yeah.
And then catch up with a double somewhere.
I see. All right. I got you. That makes sense. So celebrating Halloween, Tom Hush will be watching a horror movie every day, or maybe skipping a day and watching two horror movies, which is a good thing to do. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite month of the year. October is my favorite, and you know the weather that we're having right now sucks, but by the end of the week, it's going to be like 59 for a high, which is where it should be, where we should be in October. Not this nonsense that we have going on now with the humidity and 86 degrees on October 1st. That's absurd. But anyway, by the end of the week, all will be right in terms of weather. So, yeah, the fall has begun. All right, so let's go into the newsroom, and it's Vic Vaughn. Hiya, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. Doing well. Yeah. I was just Googling Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And I've seen that. I watched it this year, and I agree. That is a really cool movie. It's almost 100 years old. So.
It is. A lot of people go, oh, it's old. It's black and white. It's silent. It's not scary. No, it is.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Tom's right. It is. Yeah, you guys are right.
Yeah,
that's a cool movie.
Very, very cool movie. Speaking of movies, I turned you on to a movie called Bubba Hotep, which is falls into this into that genre as well. Also comedy.
And I am grateful.
Yeah.
Because I loved it.
I'm so glad, man. Because it's a weird movie.
I loved it.
A really weird movie.
Very weird.
And it's a hard sell. Like some people tell you it's Elvis is not dead. He switched bodies. He's now in an old folks home in Florida alongside Ossie Davis, who thinks he's JFK, who has been dyed black.
And it's as funny as it sounds
and it's
right there.
And they just go after a soul-sucking mummy who's terrorizing the old folks' home.
It was really good. I loved it. I didn't want it to end.
I'm glad,
and I loved Elvis Presley.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell did a great job playing Elvis. He's really likable. He was flawed, but a likable Elvis. It was great.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it because it's a very strange movie and a hard sell. And I don't, I recommend Bubba Hotep, but a lot of people go, "What the hell was that?" after they watch it.
I know. I was saying that during it. I'm like, "What am I watching?" Yeah. But it was funny
in a positive way, though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's cool. Well, there you go. There's Vic watching the old Bubba Hotep. So Yeah, it is. It's October. I'm going to bust out the Scary Sounds CD pretty soon. We will dust off Count Fartula and Fartenstein, and introduce them to Tom. Tom does not know about the Scary Sounds CD, and of course the infamous Screaming Dude, which is one of the greatest and most ridiculous sound. Vic, you're familiar with Screaming Dude and Count Fartula and Fartenstein.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the screaming guy's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the screaming. The thing about this is, Tom, the Scary Sound CD dates back to 1998 or 99, so it's at least 20 years old. And my old partner Gary Lee Wright, when I first got. A regular show on here outside of, you know, me being a part of the radio station on Steve and Johnny's show and on Roy Leonard's show, when they gave me my own show, they teamed me up with Gary Lee Wright, this really great broadcaster, really cool guy, which I learned a lot from. Well, he was at a truck stop one day, and he was getting gas, and in a little display on the counter where you paid for your gas was a bunch of like really cheap CDs. You've seen these, like, you
of
know.
Course, yeah.
And so one of them was just called Scary Sounds, and it was like $2.99 or something. So we bought it, and he brought it to the station. It was around Halloween time, and so we're like, so we open up the thing, and it doesn't have a track listing, so we don't know, you know, what the tracks are or what they, you know, what they are. So we played through the whole CD one night on the air, and went through the sound effects and tried to figure out what they were. It is about the worst sound effects CD that you can possibly imagine. I think it was recording some dude's garage. And it's ridiculous. It is the most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear. Now, and we'll go through it, but there's one in particular, which is just man. It's called Man Screaming. that goes on for like almost 3 minutes. You know, most of these are kind of short, but this goes on for like almost 3 minutes. And we play it every year. The first year we played it, people were calling up and going, "You turn that thing off. First of all, my cat's going nuts. There's running around the house going nuts." When you hear this thing, Tom, you're going to lose your mind.
Well, I have a deep affinity for Halloween effects sounds because my mom used to have a cassette tape that she would play when we were kids.
Yeah.
Because we had a very classical 90s home with the built-in like intercom system.
Uh-huh.
And, you could put a tape into it, and it would play throughout the entire house. And she used to do Halloween parties for us as kids because she loves Halloween.
Yeah.
So she would play this haunted house cassette tape.
Yeah.
And I both loved it and was terrified by it.
Well, you're not going to be terrified. You're not going to be terrified by anything on this.
I won't be terrified by Screaming Man.
You won't be terrified by anything. I guarantee you. It's the worst sound effects CD of all time. And because of that, it's also the best sound effects CD of all time. So we'll bust out all the Halloween stuff coming out as we get closer to Halloween. Okay, so everybody stick around. We're going to be talking about some really hilarious knockoff brands. We're going to talk about terrible roles, garbage roles that actors took for the money, and the most paused movie scenes in movie history. And after this break, Tom Appel is going to join us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Lots of car talk and lots of automotive news to talk about, and any and all of your car-related and automotive-related questions at 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text, 312-981-7200. Right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. You've been two for Tuesday. Get your request in now. It's one artist, two songs. You program it. 312-981-7200. All righty then. It is time for our monthly visit with Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he joins us every month to talk about all automotive stories and issues and car issues and cars and all that stuff. And if you have any questions, he can help you out at 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. Let's welcome Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. All right, you know, let's do the general for the people who may be new to the segment. We've been doing it for a long time, but tell them all about Consumer Guide Automotive and stuff.
Yeah, consumerguide.com. That's where we keep all of our new car and used car reviews. We've been around since 1967. If you're not looking for a car right now, just skip ahead to our blog. There's a link right there at consumerguide.com, or you can go straight to it, cgdailydrive.com blog. We try to have some fun with car culture. We go in-depth on some car reviews, and we look back at old advertising, all sorts of stuff.
I have to say that this is I was looking at the Automotive Liars Club.
Yes.
The three BS artists I've endured. And we got to get to that a little bit later on.
Yeah, that was cathartic to write.
I bet it was. I bet it was. It's also really, it's also really, really funny. And
good.
So we'll get to that a little bit later on. That's part of the blog. So I always ask you, you know, right out of the gate, what have you guys been driving? What have you been driving lately?
I am driving the 2019 Honda Ridgeline, and this is one of the most underappreciated vehicles in America right now. This is Honda's compact pickup truck. It is not quite as heavy-duty as some of the other compact pickup trucks out there, but it is a whole lot nicer than most of them. Really nice interior, rides well, useful pickup bed, and I think most people don't need more truck than this. It's mid-size, it works really well, and it's just not selling. Which is strange because it's really very good.
Oh, okay. And it's driving okay then? You like it?
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot.
Okay. And what else have you driven recently since the last time we talked?
Oh, wow. What did I just drive recently? I just drove the, this is an interesting, the Nissan Altima SL all-wheel drive. So new for 2019, Nissan has made the Altima all-wheel drive. That's their midsize sedan. And it's an interesting move because, as everyone knows, sedan sales are in steep decline because everyone's moving to crossovers. So one of the big differentiators here for Nissan is all-wheel drive. Nice car, and I got really good mileage considering it was all-wheel drive, almost 30 miles per gallon.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, that's really cool. What else has been going around the office? What are other people driving around the office that they are enjoying?
We just got a very, I hesitate to call it silly, but a seriously off-road version of another compact pickup. This is the Chevy Colorado, the Chevy Colorado ZR2 Bison. And this has been upfitted for serious off-road use. The version we have has the diesel engine as well. But we're actually rather enjoying it, and we wish we had some reason to go off-road.
Yeah.
It's a little over the top, but there is a market for it, and it's very well executed.
Really? What do you mean by over the top?
It's lifted. It's considerably lifted. You can see a lot of the parts. This is exactly the way someone might do this job at home if they had a lot of time and a lot of money. So that the pieces that you can see that help lift the vehicle and make it off-road ready are really nicely finished. So it presents very well from any angle.
That's hilarious. That's great. Bison, huh?
Bison, yeah.
Do you ever ask how they come up with the names for these cars? Have you ever done a piece on that over the years, Tom?
We've done a couple of worst model names over the years, but we've never actually asked the question why.
Yeah.
which is a great question.
It is. I mean, it's got to be by, you know, there has to be like a room full of people, right? I mean, it's like maybe taking a vote. Oh, yeah, Bison sounds like a good name for a car.
And you would think these are huge corporations, so you would think that there was all sorts of clinics and focus groups to get these names, but who knows?
Who knows is right. But some of the classic car names, you know, we've talked about this many times in the past, Tom. Do you have a favorite car name from the past?
Favorite car name. I've always liked the name Firebird. I like all the Firebird names. So I like Thunderbird, I like Firebird, I like Phoenix.
Yeah.
I think those are great names.
Yeah, absolutely. God. All right, we got here a quick question here before we break for the news, and we got to talk about the strike. That's a big story,
yes.
Tom. So we're going to get to that. But let's see. Taxi driver Bob is here. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
All right.
I was wondering if Mr. LaPelle had driven a Alfa Romeo Giulia, and then the top of the line one with a Quadra, whatever it is, the one with the shamrock on it, the four leaf clover shamrock on it.
Yeah, the Quadra Foglio.
Yeah, Foglio, right.
Here's the thing. I'm a huge guy. I don't really fit in that car very well. But that said, it is a hoot to drive. It's something like 505 horsepower.
Oh, my God.
This is Alfa Romeo's compact car. Quadrifoglio is the top trim level. And it's a twin turbo. And I want to say it's a 2.9-liter V6. It might be a 3-liter V6. But it is really high strung. It is a joy to drive. It's really loud. I don't know that it's a practical daily driver. But it does scream.
Is it one of those cars that costs like $150 to do an oil change or something like that?
The maintenance could be expensive. I don't know. That's a great question. You should bring it back to the Alpha dealer for service, and that could get expensive.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Thanks.
I'm sure. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care. Do you think that taxi driver Bob is his taxi is an Alfa Romeo? Maybe.
I hope so. I doubt it.
What's the, when you drive one of these crazy cars? I mean, because that's crazy.
It is crazy.
How do you have to change your mindset as to, you know, because you want to for those kind of car, for the cars that people, you know, consumer guide automotive, a lot of it is practical stuff that people are concerned about. That's the kind of stuff you look out for. That's the kind of stuff that you report on. Now, you got to change your mindset when you get into something crazy like an Alfa Romeo, right?
Well, you absolutely do, because Alfa doesn't really address the needs of most buyers.
Right.
It's a very sporty thing. It's a very particular thing. And no, you're making an excellent point, Nick, because when you get into it, you just have to hope that it does what it's supposed to do well. And in this case, that car does do that. It's a little cramped. It's a little bit expensive, but it is a hoot to drive. And if you had that kind of money, for a third car, because you really, I don't know if you want to commute in that, why not?
I could just see, you know, parking in the company parking lot with that thing, you know, and leaving it there all day while you're at your desk. You know, it just seems it's crazy to me.
I remember an executive at a company I worked at purchased a Maserati Quattroporte at a very conservative company. It was all anyone talked about until the guy was eventually fired.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Why would you show up in such a conspicuous car?
I don't know. It was a weird thing. At the company I was at the time, it was an extremely bizarre choice.
Yeah.
Because the owner himself was not driving an especially ostentatious car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just a very strange decision.
Oh, so it was just some dude was trying to outdo the boss?
I don't know. Maybe. Yes. It was weird. It was ill-considered.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, that's just really crazy. All right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is here. He joins us once a month. He is a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, which is a great website. Check out consumerguide.com. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. We're going to talk about this strike that's happening right now. The United Auto Workers Union is on strike, and we'll tell you about that. And he'll answer any and all of your car-related questions. So if you're in the market for a car of some kind, or you have a car or automotive-related question of any kind, text or call us at 312-981-7200. We'll get back to all the car talk right after we break for the news here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studios. We are here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And here live and local, it is Nick DiGilio. And we're talking with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he is here to talk about automotive stories in the news and to answer any and all of your questions and concerns about cars and so forth. 312-981-7200. All right, let's get back to it. And here is Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
All right, let's talk about this strike. And how it's going to affect General Motors in many ways. So first of all, how did the strike start? The United Auto Workers Union, about 48,000 members are striking. How did this happen, and what are the effects going to be in long term?
This strike was fairly predictable from the start, because this was the UAW negotiating a new contract with the big three automakers. So the UAW, when a contract is coming due, generally picks one manufacturer, and that would be Ford or General Motors, or now it's FCA, used to be the Chrysler Corporation, and they strike against them to negotiate the best deal possible. And then that deal is usually the one that's used as a framework for dealing with the other two manufacturers.
Got it.
So that's fairly typical that they have strike. This strike's a little bit long already at 2 weeks. And what's different now than things had been even in the recent past is that domestic manufacturers have adopted something fairly common in Asian manufacturers, which is just-in-time systems and delivery, which means they don't maintain the kind of inventory they used to. Now, I'm talking about parts more than vehicles, but there are already shops, dealerships, and parts warehouses that are running dry of certain parts. So this is a problem. And in fact, this is just personal observation. I was talking to a guy tonight at the health club whose daughter's car cannot be fixed for emissions problems. So the car is actually going to be grounded for a little while until they can get some parts.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so this is a real life, it's happening now to people kind of thing.
And what are the other impacts that it's going to have on GM?
Well, it remains to be seen. General Motors did something called a build-out, so they knew the strike was coming, so they built an awful lot of vehicles to pad inventory. So as yet, 2 weeks into the strike, most dealerships have enough vehicles for now. But what happens is as the inventory goes down, people aren't finding the kind of vehicles that they want, the color, the trim level, whatever. So it kind of gets harder to sell the remaining inventory. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully this thing's going to wrap up in a week or two.
And what is it that specifically the UAW wants?
One of the things they want, there's two particular factories that they're talking about. General Motors wanted to close these factories, and the UAW wants them to keep them open. One of them was Lordstown, and that's probably not going to stay open. That's where General Motors used to build the Cruze, the Chevrolet Cruze. The other one is Hamtramck, which is in Detroit, and that plant's been around for a long time. General Motors is talking about building an electric pickup truck there, probably an electric version of the Silverado, and the UAW would very much like General Motors to do that. One of the things about that, though, is even if General Motors could be pressured into keeping that plant open, it would probably not employ that many people, because even an electric version of something as popular of the Silverado is probably not going to be very high volume. Maybe we're looking at 30, 40, 50,000 units. It's not what a factory generally cranks out.
And so in that regard, would that be the only thing that they would be working on in that plant, the plant that you're talking about that might be closing?
That's a great question, because Hamtramck has traditionally built multiple things at one time, but it's kind of been kind of a studio or a boutique place where they built a lot of low-volume things. So I don't know the answer to that. They could put other low-volume stuff there, potentially, but right now the plant isn't earmarked for anything.
And so what does it look like is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen, though?
I think that the Lordstown plant, which they may have a buyer for, and that's a whole different story, is probably going to be underutilized by another manufacturer, and I don't think that there's anything the UAW can do about that. Hamtramck will probably remain open just because it's really convenient. It's in Detroit, and if, in fact, Chevy is going to build this electric pickup truck there, that's probably a good place for them to do it. And if that plant's open, they'll probably find a way to utilize other parts of the plant over time.
And let me ask you this. As the years have gone by and the technology has changed and upped so hugely in the world of car manufacturing and all that, how has that affected the relationship between the companies and the union?
Oh, it's been bad. I mean, if we go back to Michael Moore's film, Roger and Me.
Yeah.
Right at the time when General Motors
that was 30 years ago, too.
Yeah, that was a while ago. And that's about the time that General Motors started to discover robotics. And they were looking for ways to lower to reduce the headcount in its workforce. And, of course, the UAW wanted to protect jobs. And there's all sorts of different job clarifications and all sorts of different reasons why the General Motors couldn't lay these people off. And I think that's where the tension sort of began. And we've seen that ever since then. And there's probably more UAW workers than General Motors needs, but that's the way these contracts work.
And at the bottom line, how is this going to hit GM financially?
It could hurt them pretty hard. There's a couple of launches right now. Chevrolet had redesigned the Silverado about a year ago, and it never really caught fire like it should have. And they were busy ramping up versions of the vehicle that had not initially been available. So this is messing with that. Plus, and this is probably more psychological than it is actually fiscal, but the new Corvette is due out right now, and this is stalling that. Which is kind of a headache, too.
Are people looking forward to the new Corvette?
Oh, yeah. The demand is huge. Apparently, it's sold out for the first year.
Wow.
Yeah, this is probably the most excitement there's been around a new Corvette in a long time.
And so wow, and there could be a delay. I wonder, that's got to be frustrating, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's really going to frustrate dealers who probably have deposits down on these vehicles.
Oh, man. All right, well, so this is widespread, then. It's going to affect a lot of people.
It is, yeah. And the people that, it's funny because we think about the UAW workers being affected, and they are because they're not making full salaries right now. But it's the Tier 2 and Tier 3 suppliers to General Motors that have been idled. And those workers aren't being paid at all, nor are they going to expect any sort of improvement in pay or salary as a result of this. And they're really being hurt.
How often have strikes happened in the past?
I'm trying to think of how many times there's been a contract renewal without a strike. And it's happened, but I think the strike is more common than not.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. You know, somebody who just has kind of a cursory knowledge of what's going on there, but it seems like I hear the word strike a lot in the world of car manufacturing.
Yeah, it just seems like that's just a regular part of the negotiations now.
Yeah. How different is Detroit now as it used to be? I mean, you know, all of these years of financial problems and the technology that's changing everything. What's the city of Detroit? How much of a hit have they taken?
The city itself?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone talks about Detroit 2.0. That's the thing. If you go to Detroit, that's what you hear.
Yeah.
Detroit 2.0. And there is sort of a renaissance. There's a couple of companies that have moved back in there. And one of the things that's kind of helped in Detroit is that Chinese manufacturers that are looking to get a foot into being suppliers to the auto industry are setting up shop there.
Oh, okay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
They're building in the U.S. So there is some comeback. It seems slower. If you talk to people who live in Detroit or monitor the industry near Detroit, they're not as optimistic maybe as the city itself is.
Yeah.
But it seems to be getting better slowly.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. We'll keep an eye on everything that's happening there. We got some texts that have come in, Tom.
Okay.
608 area code says, what do you think of the Mazda Miata RF?
Oh, I wish I fit better in a Miata because the Miata is pure joy.
Yeah.
It was redesigned like 2 years ago, and it's awesome. The RF is the retractable hardtop version of the car. It weighs about 150 pounds more than the regular Miata, but you don't feel the weight. It's still absolutely a joy to drive.
Okay.
And what's nice is that you have, you know, winter security. It seals up nicely. It's sort of a coupe and a convertible.
Okay. All right. 815 area code says, you're talking about all the light pickup trucks. What's the best diesel pickup?
In the light pickups, and if he means by that half ton, what's kind of interesting and kind of exciting, for the first time, I think, in pickup truck history for 2020, all three manufacturers will have a light-duty diesel. They're all 3-liter turbo diesels, and there will be one in the F-150 and the Silverado and the Ram and the GMC Sierra. As for which one is best, that's hard to say. I haven't driven all three of them yet. I haven't driven the Ford or the Chevy. Ram is claiming the most towing capacity. Chevy is claiming the best mileage. And I think the Fords might be the easiest one to get into financially.
Okay.
So picking one, I can't do.
Okay, gotcha. Well, those are your options right there.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So Fiat Chrysler. They were kind of lying a little bit about their sales numbers. What's going on? And now they're getting hit with a $40 million fine? Tell me about that.
Yeah, this was awesome because it seemed like every single month when the sales reports were coming out, and it happens like today, the first day of the month, the sales reports would come out, and there was a period of time where every single month Chrysler would announce that it had broken a new monthly record. And we'd all be scratching our heads like, wow, that's incredible. And part of what was going on that made it kind of believable is that Jeep was just blazing hot.
Yeah.
That Jeep had added a bunch of light duty models, you know, the Cherokee and the other Renegade, and these were selling well. So it seemed credible on some level that they could do this, but apparently they weren't doing it.
And that's not a good thing. So they're getting slapped with a fine.
Yeah, the fine is interesting because the reason for it was not that so much that they were lying or advertising, but it was that they were misleading investors. Which is a very interesting thing, and yeah, that is a problem. So they're slapped with a $40 million fine, which in the world of automotive industry is probably not a huge amount of money, but it's a pretty big fine.
Yeah, now, and does this happen? Does this happen? Who watches over this? The sales numbers. Who governs this and makes sure, you know, watchdogs?
I don't know, because in this time, I think it was the Securities Exchange Commission that came down on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the authority that would usually monitor this. It's interesting, too, because there are so many media outlets that monitor sales.
Yeah.
That it's surprising that it got this far.
Is that a common practice for companies to overstate their sales?
I don't think so. You can inflate them towards the end of the year by pushing some stuff from inventory into dealer lots.
Oh, okay.
And that's not uncommon. And what you'll see, too, towards the end of the year, there's a couple of sales races. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Lexus. Really, Mercedes-Benz and BMW always have this race to see who's the best-selling luxury car manufacturer in the U.S. And they do things like crazy leases towards the end of the year. And I'm sure that they just move some things out of inventory out of dealer lots if they can. And that's reasonably within the realm of...
Uh-huh.
Because they're not fabricating sales. They're right. just kind of pulling them ahead.
Okay, well, so that's a little bit more acceptable.
A little bit.
Okay. All right. That's still shady. Okay, Tom, hang on.
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He is a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us every month to talk about automotive-related questions and concerns and news. If you guys have a question or a comment, if you're in the mood for or mood, or if you're in the market for a car, 312-981-7200. And we'll be back more with Tom after this on 720 WGN. My little news group, you don't know what I got.
She'll walk a thunderbird like it's standing still. She's boarding in her lead, then she's stroking board. She'll do 140 in the top end floor. She's my little new scoop. You don't know what I got.
All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline studio here, and here until 5 a.m. Coming up, we're going to be talking about some really hilarious knockoff brands. You know, there are your regular brands, and then just, you know, some crazy knockoffs. Some of them are generic in stores all over the place, and some of them are from other countries, like Robert Cop, the action figure, instead of RoboCop. So we're also going to talk about terrible roles that actors took for the money and the most paused movie scenes. That's coming up as we continue on the show. But right now, Tom Appel is with us, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is with us, and we're talking about cars and automotive stuff, and let's welcome Tom back. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, got a couple of texts here.
Okay.
847 area code says, EVs are supposed to help lessen the dependency for gasoline, which helps the environment, but does the process of manufacturing EV batteries or disposables of those batteries harm the environment? That's a great question.
It's a great question, and I think the answer is a little bit unclear, although I think it is understood that the manufacturing of an EV versus that of a internal combustion engine regular vehicle, conventional vehicle, is probably just a little bit more carbon intensive, which is offset in operation, presumably, hopefully, by the electric operation. However, the disposal of the battery is still a really open-ended question. There haven't been that many electric vehicles that have been demolished as yet or taken apart, so there aren't that many batteries laying around yet. And there are all these very grand plans to use these batteries that still have some life in stationary power storage facilities. But as yet, this hasn't really begun to happen. And then the larger question is, what happens to those batteries when they're not good for that?
Oh, yeah.
So at some point, they're going to have to be cleaned and reconditioned, but I don't know that system's quite in place yet.
Okay. So the questions are still up in the air then?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about these driverless shuttles that may be the future of our work commute. I don't want driverless to be the future of my work commute. We've obviously the technology has been going crazy. We've been talking about driverless vehicles for a while, and I think you and I both have the same kind of thought that it's a little bit freaky, to say the least.
It is a little bit freaky.
Yeah. And what about these shuttles?
Yeah, these shuttles are interesting. A company called Optimus Ride, which was born of a project out of MIT, which is interesting, is building shuttles now. They're six-passenger shuttles that will work on the campuses of larger corporations and, I guess, some colleges in some applications. And there are some of these in use right now. But what's interesting is that they're kind of proof of concept of real autonomy, and that they're going to work in a geo-fenced area. And you're going to hear this term a lot as we move forward with autonomous vehicles. And a geo-fenced area just means that the area is actually set up with the infrastructure to support the autonomous operation. So there'll be sensors and other things in place that allow the autonomous vehicle to work better than it would just on the open road. And I think that these are limited to 25 miles per hour. They seat six people. There's no gear in there whatsoever to steer or turn or brake the vehicles. They're completely autonomous, and they work in these very controlled environments.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good proof of concept for the project, but I think it also proves how far away true autonomy might be.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that makes sense. And again, you know, we're talking about names. Optimus Ride.
Optimus Ride. That's a good name.
Yeah, it is. It's a great name. You know, it just never stops, man. 847 area code sends a text that says, in the market for a new sedan, which is better of the three, Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, or Nissan Altima?
For 2019, Consumer Guide made both the Camry and the Accord Best Buy picks. So we picked both of those vehicles. Of the two, I like the Camry, but I vastly prefer the Accord.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite cars of all time. It is just a really well-built, balanced car. It is fun to drive in any form, and I really like the Accord Hybrid.
Okay.
It's just a heck of a good car.
Very cool. Thank you for answering that question. Here's a story out of Minnesota, Tom.
Yeah,
they make moves to get more electric vehicles on the roads. Are other states doing this as well?
Yeah, this is an interesting story, and I had to read it a couple of times until I got to what it was really about. But the state of Minnesota, and the governor is driving this, is working to make the state to make in the state more electric vehicle choices, essentially.
Got it.
And they want manufacturers to provide those. And it sounds a little bit like it's kind of a confusing and unenforceable thing. But then if you read further, what they really want to do, it seems, is to join the Green State Coalition. And the Green States are some 13 states that include California, Washington, and Oregon, and a bunch of Northeast states that use California emissions as their standards, the California emission standards. And what works here is because of those standards in those states, manufacturers make more electric vehicles available there. So you have vehicles like the Fiat 500e, which is an electric version of the Fiat 500, is only available in some of those green states. So what Minnesota seems to be hoping to do is for manufacturers to bring those vehicles that are only in limited distribution to their state.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. And what was the time frame on this? They said, what, 2023?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on that. All right. I want to get to, before we got to let you go, let's talk about this Automotive Liars Club. Where did you single out three BS artists that you've endured. Tell me about where this came from and tell me about these three guys.
Yeah. I think everyone knows these guys. If anyone who knows something about something, you know, like I'm a car guy,
yeah,
runs into people that, largely because you're a car guy, want to tell you things about what you know about, and you know they're lying, and it almost hurts. It's almost physical pain. And so there were three of these guys that just stuck out in my mind when I wrote this piece, and one of them was Monte Carlo guy.
Yeah.
And this is a guy in an office I worked at who had a 83 or 84 Monte Carlo, and it was a total wreck. But this guy would saunter up to me every day and be like, yeah, I hit 120 miles an hour on Route 53 today. And I was like, no, dude, you didn't. You just didn't. You know, those things are 300 horsepower from the factory. No.
An 83 Monte Carlo?
Yeah.
It
wasn't good.
That's hilarious. What about Firebird guy? Because at one point I was a Firebird guy.
Firebird guy was awesome. He was a friend of the mechanic at the gas station I worked at when I was in high school. And he was a really nice guy. He looked a little bit like Tom Petty's underfed brother. And he had this, I think it was a 78 Firebird Formula.
Okay.
And he was constantly telling me stories of his plans for this vehicle. And the best part of the story was one day he just pulls into the station and he's in the office and I should be working, but I'm talking to this guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's telling me this story about how he's got the engine out of the car right now. And I'm looking out the window, but the car is there. And he realizes what he's done. He's like, well, I've got a different engine in there right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. All right. Tom Petty's underfed brother.
Yeah,
I like that. Okay, and then before we get out of here, tell me about Neon Guy.
Neon Guy was the best. This was actually a horse ranch somewhere near the Wisconsin Dells. I was there with my wife and daughter, and there was something that was like a bar at this place. And the bartender started showing me these pictures that he had taken from high-tension wires. Like, he had crawled up these things, and he was explaining to me, and he really took the pictures, and they looked real. But he's explaining to me that he was part of some secret civil defense team, and that they had given him a special government chip for his neon, his Dodge Neon, that made it capable of going 147 miles an hour. Like, what are you talking about? The beauty of it was when my wife and I left this bar, we look outside and we see this neon, and it's just festooned in antennas. Like, I don't know what this guy does, but...
Wow, that's hilarious.
Oh, it was awesome.
That's hilarious. Well, people can read this at the Consumer Guide Automotive at the blog. Tom, it's always a pleasure, man. Have a great month, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you.
Tom Appel, man, he's the best. He's the best. As I've said before, this is one of my favorite segments that we do ever, and I haven't driven in like 20 years. I don't currently have a car. So, all right, we're going to break here on WGN. Yeah! Do you, don't you want me to love you? Right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, every morning you guys pick the music bumps. You're part of the show. We want you guys to be a part of it, and each morning is a different theme. Today is 2 for Tuesday, and that's one artist, two songs. Who requested the Beatles?
That's coming to us from Sam.
Sam requesting the Beatles for 2 for Tuesday. We'll get one more of those coming up as our music bumps, coming back from commercials and news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. By the way, you know, Vic reported in the news report here about that out-of-control catering truck. Have you seen the footage of it?
Yeah. It's...
Vic, did you see the footage?
I did, yeah. That was, you know what? That was a challenging situation for those workers,
yeah.
And I'm guessing there was probably not a manager around, maybe a ramp supervisor, but the guy who went and grabbed that other piece of equipment and rammed it,
yeah.
Seriously, and I haven't heard it reported much, but that aircraft, I mean, that cart could have caused some serious damage,
yeah.
At least to the... landing gear, the nose gear, if not the actual skin of the aircraft, and you're talking a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that guy, I mean, he did a pretty good job
there. It looks like he had a giant forklift, and he just kind of came and rammed the thing and flipped it over. For those people who don't know, this happened at O'Hare yesterday, right?
That's right.
This happened at O'Hare yesterday, and you said a case of water fell on the accelerator?
Right.
And it was stuck.
And the driver, I didn't see, in the video, I couldn't see exactly how the driver got out of the vehicle, but I'm assuming maybe fell out, or I'm not sure.
And it was an out-of-control, like, catering truck right next to a plane that was sitting on the tarmac, and it's spinning around and around and around, and stuff has fallen out of it, and then finally a guy, one of the workers out there on the runway... showed up with like a big forklift and just smashed into it.
And it must have done, in the video, right? I mean, the clip I've seen, it must have done like 10 loops, 10 donuts.
Yeah. Oh,
they're real
yeah.
tight donuts, too. It was all right there and a bunch of people watching.
And all the guys, all the workers were like, oh, what are we going to do? What's going on? And they're all kind of trying to keep a distance because this thing could kill you. And it's spinning around and going nuts and going nuts. And here comes this guy with a giant forklift, just knocks it right over, man. And then I love the commentary from the inside. They're like, well, that's one way to do it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Anyway, I didn't know if anybody saw the footage. It was really pretty crazy.
Job well done,
yeah,
sir, whoever that was.
Exactly. Saving a lot of money for any kind of damages. But really, kind of scary, man. That's pretty scary when that happened. But yeah, this guy just like, look, I'm just going to go get a giant forklift and knock this thing over. Let's end this nonsense right now. So good for you guys out at O'Hare. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. So, 312-981-7200, how many people opt for the knockoff brands or the generic brands? And are the generic brands better than the brand names? Because sometimes that's the case. We did a taste test many, many years ago here where we brought in a generic version or a knockoff version of something and a name brand version of something, and we taste tested them. So, like, and I'll never forget this. I'm trying to remember whether it was, I think it was Meyer's version. Oh, so we brought in SpaghettiOs. We did a blind taste test. So we had somebody prepare outside the studio. This was back when Gary Lee Wright and I were working together. And so we had somebody prepare, you know, the two items that we were going to be tasting. And so we didn't know what they were. So we had SpaghettiOs and Spaghetti Hoops. Now, I don't know. I think it was Meyer. It might not have been. I can't remember. But the brand name was Spaghetti Hoops. So we were taste testing, you know, everything. We would look at it. Does this look better than the other one? We were doing the whole thing, you know, where you're looking at it visually, aesthetically, you're smelling it, you're tasting it. What's the better item? And for the most part, the name brands were better. We you know what I mean? That was for the most part. But not in every case. Not in every case. And the case of this, Spaghetti Hoops are better than SpaghettiOs. And that was unanimous. There were three of us doing a taste test, and it was unanimous. We all liked B over A, and B happened to be the generic Spaghetti Hoops.
What was it about the taste that was different or better?
You know, it was weird because it tasted, you know, I mean, there was more of a tang to it, if I remember correctly. And the actual noodles were a little more firm. The actual hoops were a little more firm.
Al dente.
Yeah. And all three of us preferred it. So SpaghettiOs were not as good as Spaghetti Hoops. So we did that. We did the whole taste test, you know, like there was a Dr. Pepper knockoff called Dr. Something. It was a doctor, but it was not Pepper, obviously. And that was terrible compared to Dr. Pepper. And then there was the Spam versus, what was the Spam knockoff? Oh, wait a minute. I have to look this up, I think. Hold on. Jeez. What was the Spam knockoff that we had? Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Well, here's a good one. Always Save Luncheon Loaf.
Save Luncheon Loaf. It had a one word name like Spam, but it wasn't Spam. It was like meat. Like, I don't know. Treat. Treat.
Just called Treat.
Treat. T-R-E-E-T. Treat. And I happen to love Spam. We've discussed this, right, Tom? My love for Spam.
Oh, yes.
I love Spam. I love it. And so when they brought it in, it was Treat, T-R-E-E-T. That was the name brand sort of canned luncheon meat knockoff that we did. So it was Spam and Treat. And as soon as they brought it in, I looked at it and I went, this is Spam. Like, the look, Treat was pale, even more pale than Spam. It didn't have the same texture at all. And I, even looking at it, I was like, this is not Spam. This is not even remotely Spam. So I tasted the Spam, and I'm like, yes, that's Spam, and it's awesome. And then I tasted the Treat, and it was disgusting. But there are so many of these. What was the one that you just found?
Just Always Save Luncheon Meat.
Always Save... No, Luncheon Loaf.
Luncheon Loaf.
Luncheon Loaf. That makes it sound really appetizing.
My personal favorite is out in Iowa, there's a supermarket called Hy-Vee.
H-I-V?
No, H-Y-V-E-E.
Hy-Vee, okay.
And their knockoff for Mountain Dew was simply called Hee-Haw.
And it had the green sort of logo?
Green logo, and it's Hee-Haw with three E's.
Hee-haw!
So get on down to the Hy-Vee, grab your hee-haw. You're in for a good time.
Now, I'm looking at this. We have this article that's at BuzzFeed, and it's linked up on our Facebook page. If you want to see the pictures, I suggest you check it out because the pictures of these products are hilarious. If you got any local brands here that you want to jump in here, what are some of the most ridiculous knockoff brands or generic brands? which ones are kind, maybe even better than the other you can save money on. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. But go to our Facebook page and like us, as you should anyway, because it's constantly connected to the show. You should like us and follow us. But if you want to see a direct link to this article that I'm referring to, it's got all the great color pictures of these ridiculous knockoff brands. And it's facebook.com/NickDShow. Be a part of it. Facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, so the first one that we're talking about, you were talking about a Mountain Dew knockoff. The Mountain Dew knockoff that we're looking at right here, you were saying it was Hee Haw from Hy-Vee, three E's and he. And it had, you know, all of these have that similar sort of look to what the logo of the brand product is. So this is called Mountain Lightning. Yeah, man, Mountain Lightning. And I'm looking at a 12-pack of Mountain Lightning, and it's got the same exact color scheme. You know, the lightning bolts, the high energy look, the yellow and the green, all in there. And my favorite thing about it, Mountain Lightning, is that, you know, like if you look at it, like a cursory look at it, you go, oh, yeah, I guess that could pass for Mountain Dew because it's the same sort of very similar logo, same colors. But my favorite detail about the 12-pack, the case itself, is in the bottom corner, it says, easy open, punch and pull. And I'm not quite sure I know what that means. It's a 12-pack of cans. Like, everybody knows what a can of pop does and how you open a can of pop. But on the bottom here, it just says, easy open, punch and pull. I don't think I've ever punched and pulled a pop can to open it. So I'm not quite sure if that's a special direction that only works with Mountain Lightning. But yeah, Mountain Lightning. There's another one. So, the comment that they say on BuzzFeed is the logo here for Mountain Lightning makes me feel like they may or may not have slipped amphetamine into the pop or into the soda. Okay, how about this one? Now, we all know Hamburger Helper. We all know Hamburger Helper. Get your ground beef, get your Hamburger Helper. You got a quick and easy meal. Well, if you can't afford Hamburger Helper, there's always High Top, HY-top, High Top, Pan-Burger Partner. Pan-Burger Partner. That's what it's called. And you've got a really delectable-looking beef noodle dish picture on there. But yeah, it's the High Top Pan-Burger Partner. They call it the dinner mix. So there you go. High Top Pan-Burger Partner. So I guess those are synonyms for... I've never heard hamburger called pan-burger. I guess if you got the word burger in there, it works. But this box is ridiculous. So you can get yourself... Hey, you want to save some money? On your Hamburger Helper, get yourself some Pan Burger Partner. All right, how about this? There's in Chinatown, there's a coffee shop called Sunbucks Coffee. And it's got the green circle. But and in the middle, it's got a Chinese dragon face. As opposed to the logo that Starbucks has, and it's called Sunbucks. So instead of star, it's the biggest star. It's the sun, so it moves it up. And this is, you could tell because this picture was taken in Chinatown. So Chinatown has an actual knockoff coffee shop called Sunbucks with the green circle. So Sunbucks Coffee. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here if you want to join us. Here's Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How's it going tonight?
All right. What's up?
I think Aldi's is about the best brand for, quote, knockoffs. I mean, their pizzas are good. They've got, like, a macaroni and cheese that shells and cheese that's the sauce packet that I think is better than the Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy their sliced beef stuff, beef and ham stuff, like the budding.
Yeah.
Knockoff.
Yeah.
And that punch and pull.
Yeah.
That's so you can open up the bottom of the carton and put the carton in your refrigerator.
Oh,
and
stack I see.
It and you can pull one out the bottom.
Okay, I got it. I thought they meant that's how you opened up the can. I was like, what the hell is punch and pull? But yeah, I see. You punch it, you pull it, you can leave it all as one, just throw it in, throw it into the bottom of your fridge, and you can pull out your Mountain Lightning very easily.
Right. Yeah. Well, Coors had those kind of cans back in the 70s where you had to buy a special opener that you put on top and it punched three holes in it. You know, they didn't have a pull top. It just had to push the buttons in.
Yeah, that sounds convenient.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, you either take your car key and push it in or buy their special dollar thing that you sat on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't leave. At that time, it was still the old nasty keys, you know what I mean, where
you pull it out.
And you'd have that thing that would slice your foot open if you left it on the ground.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. Thank you, Rich.
Yep. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Let's take a break here. We're talking about some knockoffs and some generic brands. Some are better. Some are terrible. Some are ridiculous. And we've got some ridiculous ones. And if you want to follow along, seriously, you should go to our Facebook page and check out these pictures of these places and these products and these knockoffs. And it's facebook.com/NickDShow. Right. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is a Tuesday morning. You're being due for Tuesday. Get your requests in. You program the bumps every morning on the show. 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. We are talking about knockoffs, generic brands. Some of them are ridiculous. We've got a really funny link up on our Facebook page from BuzzFeed.com where they have pictures of these ridiculous brands and some of these just ridiculous places like Sunbucks coffee as opposed to Starbucks. Some of these knockoffs are just absolutely absurd. 262 area code says some knockoffs for Dr. Pepper are Dr. Thunder and Dr. K. It was Dr. Thunder that we tried. Dr. Thunder. 312 area code says, Nick, try cubed Spam browned in butter, salted or unsalted, and then mix it into macaroni and cheese. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, of course. I've done that like eight. Of course you put Spam in macaroni and cheese.
I have not, and that sounds delicious.
Oh, my God. Yes. Have you put hot dogs in macaroni and cheese?
No, I don't like. I'm a mac and cheese purist.
I'm talking about like the powdered. You know, I'm not talking about like gourmet mac and cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put hot dogs in that.
It's
I want to enjoy the mac and cheese,
man. You can put Spam in there. You put hot dogs in there. Yeah, man. Make a whole meal out of it. And grilled Spam is good. I love it. I'm also a Spam fan. I love it with eggs fried on the side. That's right.
Now that I would eat. That sounds great.
It's delicious. Spam is delicious in any possible way. Catherine says there's a Hy-V near DeKalb. They have the best store brand chocolate graham crackers. So there we go. You know, as we're discovering, you know, Rich was talking about how good the Aldi's brand is. And I bet a lot of people like the cheaper, you know, sort of generic brands of items. And if you want to jump in with your thoughts on those too, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So the next one in this BuzzFeed is absolutely hilarious. It's a storefront, which is clearly in a mall, which has the McDonald's arches upside down, and there's Asian lettering next to it, and they call it, instead of McDonald's, it's Michael Alone. That's the translation, Michael Alone. Like his last name is Alone. It's capital, it's Michael, the name Michael, and then capital A-L-O-N-E. And it's the arches, it's the actual arches, and they're up, it's just upside down. I mean, this is worse than what John Amos did in Coming to America. And the caption reads, I never thought McDonald's could ever seem more depressing. And there's like nobody in there, and it's a storefront, and it looks like a McDonald's.
Just one guy named Michael.
And the American translation here, the English translation here is Michael Alone.
For the solitary McDonald's eater.
That's right. And of course, the next one here is Robert Cop. But this is Robert Cop 3. So this was a tie-in. This is a tie-in for the third movie. And then the person at BuzzFeed, the caption was, I wonder how the first two Robert Cops were. I love that series. Robert Cop?
Just your average regular everyday Robert.
It's Robert, cop. Except he's a cop,
and he's made of metal.
Robert cop. All right, we're talking about knockoffs, generic brands. Some of them are good, some of them are ridiculous, some of them are bad. Here is Fly Jams, John. John, go ahead.
Hey, yeah. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
You're talking about the knockoffs and how they try and, you know, assimilate the pattern of the other company,
yeah.
The major company. That is designed for lazy shoppers who just grab. You know, they see it, looks like it, and they just grab it.
Yeah.
All right? The whole idea is as long as they don't infringe upon the copyright, they get away with those color combinations and the design patterns. But they have to be careful not to infringe on the copyright
right.
of the major brand.
Right. That's what so many companies do. Like I was looking at this picture of Mountain Lightning. It's the same, as you said, John, it's the same exact color scheme. And if you're just glancing, if you go, oh, okay, and you grab a 12-pack of Mountain Lightning, you get it home and you go, wait a minute, this isn't Mountain Dew. But so much of it looks the same when it's kind of blurry or you don't pay attention. But you're right. That's how they take advantage of a lot of the customers.
That's what they're designed for. Have you ever noticed the store brand knockoffs are almost exactly like the major brand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you, John.
My pleasure.
All right, buddy. 815 area code says, in the 70s, Dominick's had a different version of Pop-Tarts, and they were called Toasties, and they were horrible. Tom, you've seen Repo Man, right?
Oh, numerous times.
Okay. The generic running gag in that movie? Genius. He comes home. His parents are watching TV. Emilio Estevez pulls a big can out of the fridge and starts eating, and it just says food. They don't have generic items anymore. When I worked at the Jewels, they had generic. Like, it was just an aisle. It was an aisle full of that black written block letters with a green stripe. And it would say, you know, cat food, or, you know, it would say grape juice, or, you know, that it was just generic, completely generic, white label with the black lettering and the green stripe. And it was the worst aisle to work. It was the most pain in the ass aisle to work. Like, if I got assigned the generic aisle to load up, you know, when we were doing, you know, because when I worked at the Jewels, the load would come in and we would have to, you know, throw it up on the shelves. Generic aisle was the worst. You know why? Because it had every kind of item you could possibly imagine all in one aisle.
The toilet paper was right next to the cereal.
And you had, no, but I'm saying, like, some of the items, you know, are some, you hate doing certain items to stock on the shelf. Some are easier than others. But, like, it had canned items, it had bottled items, it had bags of litter, kitty litter, it had, I mean, it was the worst. It was absolutely the worst. Bleach. Everything, every kind of item in the world was crammed into that one aisle. So you had, like, well, you know, because if you get assigned to, like, the cat or, you know, the pet food aisle, you go, okay, you get yourself psyched up. All right, I know I got to do all this canned stuff. I got to do this. I got to do that. But in the generic aisle, you can't get stoked and ready to go because, like, oh, look at that. I'm throwing a 50-pound cat litter bag on the ground. Oh, and now I'm doing a bottle of grape juice. Terrible. But that running gag in Repo Man, genius. Hey, kid, let's go get something to drink. And he puts down a six-pack of drink. That movie's genius, by the way. All right, we're going to break. The news is coming up right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about some really terrible roles that actors took just for the money. There are a ton of them. We'll try to narrow it down. And then we're also going to talk about the most paused movie scenes of all time, meaning you're watching a movie and then you want to pause it because you want to look at whatever image is there, paused or rewound. And we have a pretty comprehensive look at some of the most paused scenes. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now we're talking about knockoff brands. Some of them are really hilarious. Some of them are really bad. Generic brands or off-brand products and things like that. We have a really hilarious group of pictures from BuzzFeed.com linked up on our Facebook page that you need to check out. And it's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us right now, Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And look at some of these really ridiculous knockoff brands and places that are up on our Facebook page right now. So let's see. Hey, Nick, from the 773 area code, all these knockoffs are, for the most part, I believe, made from the manufacturers of the brand names. We were just talking about a couple people, including Trucker Rich, said that the Aldi's brand is really, really good stuff. You can tell by the similarity in labels. As an example, the soup is Campbell's, the mayo is Hellman's, and they taste identical but at cheaper prices, which is kind of what you're looking for. Next thing on this BuzzFeed, this it's a box of cereal. It's from American Choice. American Choice. I remember President's Choice. That used to be a Jewel brand, sort of a generic Jewel brand that used to be, that used to, when I worked at the Jewels, we had the President's Choice version of things, and they had a lot of really good items. President's Choice had a lot of really good items, if I remember correctly. But this is, it's a cereal, and it's cocoa peanut butter spheres. That's a real attention grabber right there for American Choice cocoa peanut butter spheres. Dad, can we get a box of cereal? Yeah, what do you want? The cocoa peanut butter spheres.
I have noticed that generic brands often are very hyper-specific as to what they are.
Yeah.
Like, if you get knockoff Chex or whatever, it's, you know, toasted rice squares.
Yeah.
That's just it.
That's it. So here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Listen, a couple of years ago, my daughter was making dressing for our turkey on Thanksgiving. She used college brand broth because it comes in different flavors, turkey, beef, and what have you. So anyway, when she made, oh, God, it had a horrible taste to it. And so I decided I would never buy that. So when I went to the store, I got that turkey and that stuff, but I bought it in a box. And it's 10 times better. But oh. That other leaves a terrible taste.
Oh, all right. So it's in a box instead of a can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, the canned stuff was made by College.
College.
And usually College has good products.
Yeah, no, they do.
But that
was right.
Terrible.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind. All right, Linda, thank you.
Thanks, honey.
All right,
bye.
Bye. Take care. Yeah. You know what's really hilarious? Have you ever seen, you've seen the product, right, where you can get a whole chicken in a can?
No. A chicken in a can? A whole chicken?
Get a whole chicken in a can. Canned chicken. I'm not kidding.
Does it even taste good?
Oh, I've never tried it.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I'm usually up for anything when it comes to food. I will try anything. I don't know if I want to try a canned chicken.
You got to draw the line
somewhere. A whole now I've had canned chicken like tuna to make, you know, chicken salad. I've had that and that's fine. That's tasty. But like, it's a whole bones, everything in smashed into a can. I bet if you looked it up, whole chicken in a can, you'll see pictures of it. You're supposed to rinse it off really good afterwards because it's covered in goop. Like you can, it like the whole thing just comes, the whole chicken comes right out of the can.
Sweet Sue canned whole chicken.
There it is.
My goodness.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. I don't know who buys it. I don't know, you know. But I guess you're supposed to, because it's slathered in a bunch of goop, so I guess you have to rinse the hell out of it when you take it out of the can.
This is nightmarish.
It's real.
It's like in an amniotic sack,
yeah,
of something.
Yeah. Well, they got to get it in the can somehow and make it easier for you to get it out of the can.
Got to lube it up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to be, we'll hear that again on Friday, Tom. Enjoy that.
No, as much as I'll enjoy that chicken in a can.
Chicken in a can. Whole chicken in a can. How about this? 630 area code says, first of all, go Hawks. Yes, go Hawks. Friday, it all begins, and it's real, and it counts. Diet Twist Up instead of Sprite. Well, you put the word up, it's a 7-Up ripoff right away. As soon as you put the word up. Like, I'm looking at the next one on the BuzzFeed, and it's Dr. Bob. And it's got that sort of, you know, that brownish color that the label has for Dr. Pepper. Dr. Bob. And the, you know what the catchphrase is? It's from Stop and Shop. It's the company Stop and Shop, and their knockoff of Dr. Pepper is Dr. Bob. And it's open wide, say ah, because it's doctor, see? Open wide, say ah.
Here comes Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob. Okay. 815 area code says, two terrible cereal knockoffs I remember were Fruit Loops, which were called Circus O's. And for Fruity Pebbles, there were Fruity Sparkles. They both tasted like fruit-flavored styrofoam. I remember Circus O's. Yeah, I think of many of the items. I think many of the items that are knockoffs. I think the product that, I mean, I'm sure all products are knocked off at some point, but I really think cereal is the most, might be the one that has the most knockoffs,
especially when it comes in a bag.
Well, you can always trick your kids. You know what I mean? Like, you get a box that looks like it looks like Fruit Loops, but it's Circus O's, and you go, hey, and then the kid starts eating it, and they go, what the hell is this? It says, hey, Nick, I bought the Jewel generic baggies to pick up my dog's poop when I walked them. They were cheaper, and they served the purpose. Oh, okay. President's Choice was good. That was Jay. Yes, President's Choice. When I worked at the Jewels back in the 80s, we had President's Choice. And I remember a lot of their items were really good. I'm trying to remember, but President's Choice was a Jewel brand, and it was kind of like the, because they had the generic Jewel, like Jewel brand, and then like the kind of upper level generic brand was President's Choice. Because if the president chooses it, you know. The thought process, then it's got to be good. I remember their cookies being really good. I remember President's Choice cookies being really good. And I don't think they're around anymore. I don't think I know they don't have it at the Jewels anymore. The Jewels has the signature series now for their sort of like,
yeah,
signature series is sort of their generic like knockoff.
It's not
cause
bad.
Because I know I have the signature series mouthwash in my bathroom sink.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, President's Choice is a Canadian company.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Owned by Loblaw Companies Limited.
Yeah, that's right. They were Canadian. That's right. Now I'm looking at the picture of the next one on BuzzFeed. It looks exactly like a Sharpie, except it's a Skerpy. S-K-E-R-P. No, Skerple. S-K-E-R-P-L-E. And it has the same sort of font. And it's a permanent marker, fine point permanent marker, Skerpy. Or Skerple. Instead of Sharpie, Skerple.
Hey, man, you got a Skerple over there.
Skerple. And it says on the pen itself, it says, not for letter writing or cloth. Meaning you don't want to write a letter with it. And it's made in China. The Skerple. It looks exactly like a Sharpie. 630 area code says, you're kidding me, right, Nick? You never had Gator in a can? Boy, you're missing out. What, Jerry Reed writing in? What the hell?
Amos Moses over here.
No, I've never had Gator in a can. I've had alligator, but I've never had Gator in a can. Jesse says, when I was a kid, I felt like the GoBots were a knockoff or a wannabe of the Transformers. Yeah, I guess that totally makes sense. Not quite as good a knockoff as Robert Cop. All right, next we have a training suit on the back that looks exactly like the Adidas logo, but it's spelled A-D-I-D-O-S, Adidos. That's pretty funny. Adidos. So, you know, you got that tracksuit that's supposed to be, you know, real and expensive, but make sure nobody sees that it's misspelled and it's Adidos. Um, okay. How about this? Instead of Jack Daniels, the label looks exactly the same with the logo, the black, you know, the black label with everything, and it says John's Daphne. It says old time, old number one brand, quality Tenderness Sour Mash. And Tenderness is written in the same font as Tennessee. John's Daphne. Hey, let's go get a bottle of John's Daphne.
Shot of Daphne, please.
Yeah, I'll take a shot of Daphne. What do you mean you don't carry Tenderness Sour Mash whiskey here? What kind of bar is this? What kind of bar is this if I can't get a John's Daphne and Coke?
Yeah, you've never had it? Perhaps you could try a little Tenderness.
Oh, come on, man. What are you doing? All right. John's Daphne, number one, old number one brand Tenderness Sour Mash whiskey. John's Daphne. John Daphne. Oh, man. Yeah, John's Daphne. And I've hung out in a lot of dive bars. I've never seen that.
I'd walk out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know that Duracell is only spelled with one L, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The actual Duracell is spelled with one L. Their knockoff is two L's. And it's Duracell, two L's, plus, and they have just a smiling rabbit in the top. Doesn't look anything like, it's like a pink bunny, but it doesn't look anything like the Energizer bunny. And by the way, the Energizer bunny is Energizer, not Duracell. So they've mixed up they've kind of mixed up the two brands together. So they've added an L to Duracell. It's called Duracell Plus, and it's a picture of a AA battery package with a rabbit on it, with a pink rabbit on it. So they want to confuse people who use Energizer and who use Duracell.
Genius. You got to cover all your bases.
Exactly. Exactly. Hell of a product right there. Here's Steve in Galesburg. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Nick, you were talking about Jules when they had the white generics.
Yeah.
Well, Dominic's had a yellow brand, and it was just black lettering, but they had just, it was called beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, brewed by Falstaff Brewing Company.
Yeah, okay, so it was just called beer, so.
Yep, that's all it said. No okay. Alcohol content, nothing.
There you go. All right.
Well, this is the middle 80s. Yeah.
Oh, that's when the generic generic craze was at its height, was the mid 80s. Absolutely. All right, Steve, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, you can get your beer to go along with your John's Daphne and have a night. That's when you know you're at a quality house party, when they serve Dominic's generic beer with shots of John's Daphne, Tenderness whiskey.
Folks are going to have a real bad headache.
Instead of Tennessee whiskey, Tenderness. All right, let's take a break. More knockoffs and generic brands and having fun with that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I didn't ask who requested the 2 for Tuesday of the Rhythmics.
That's coming to us from Rasco.
Rasco. All right. Very cool. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. That's all coming up. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. So we're talking about knockoffs and generic brands, and some of these are really hilarious. Like the next one that we have on our BuzzFeed article, and you got to see these pictures. Seriously, you have to see these pictures. And we have it linked up on our Facebook page, and I really suggest you check it out because you will crack up. Facebook.com/NickDShow. Like us, follow us now, and click onto the link to this article, and you can check out all the ridiculous pictures of these knockoffs. Facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, how about this one? The package itself looks like a container of, I can't believe it's not butter. And the item is called, you'd butter believe it. with the same sort of font, the same color, but it's "You'd Butter Believe It" with an exclamation point.
I'm not kidding. That's an entire subgenre of knockoffs for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. There's some really ridiculous ones.
Yeah. I bet they're all, are they all very punny?
Yeah. I mean, you've got stuff like Memories of Butter.
Memories of Butter? Wait, what?
Oh, I remember the last time I had butter.
That's what this tastes like. Oh. Memories of Butter.
You remember when we used to have butter? Remember those days? Memories of Butter.
You've also got in the UK, what? Not butter?
That's pretty funny.
You'd think it's butter.
Yep.
Butter it's not. Tastes like butter. And unbelievable, this is not butter.
Do they kind of look all similar, the font and everything? Do they?
I mean, they kind of run the gamut, but they're all yellow, kind of like the...
Yeah,
They try to look a little bit like it.
Right. What's it? Unbelievable? What's it? What is it again?
Unbelievable, this is not butter. Personally, I'm a fan of what? Not butter.
What? Not butter?
Dutch Farms makes, I think it tastes like butter.
Dutch Farms makes that? Really?
It looks like it.
It's a pretty reputable company right there, Dutch Farms. They make good stuff.
They do make good stuff.
Yeah, they do. So they have their own version of that. I bet it's not bad because it's Dutch Farms. I like that company. I think they make good product. You'd butter believe it. What? Not butter?
There's a company called Food Club that has no ifs, ands, or butter.
I didn't realize that there was a whole string of like knockoff, you know, imitation butter.
Great Value.
Yeah.
Which is that Walmart or?
I don't know.
I know Great Value though.
Okay.
Wow. I totally thought it was butter.
Get out of here.
And butter is in quotes.
Wow. I totally thought it was butter.
Wow. I totally thought it was butter.
Why is butter in quotes?
I don't know.
Like it's not real butter? She thought it was not real butter? Wow, I totally thought it was not real butter.
I totally thought it was butter.
Butter. And it turns out to be quote-unquote butter, because it's not butter. What? Not butter? Call the manager. Hey, you'd butter believe it. Good Lord. Oh, man. How about this one? The PolyStation 3.
What?
PolyStation 3. It's a knockoff of PlayStation.
Oh, my God.
PolyStation. P-O-L-Y Station 3.
That'll surely confuse them.
Yeah. I'm looking at the game thing, and it says PS3 on it. They have a link here. It says, if you're really interested on how this thing doesn't actually work, you can watch a video here. So you can actually, on this BuzzFeed link, you can click onto it and you can see somebody playing with the PolyStation 3, which I'm sure is quite an adventure. Let's see, we got a couple of texts coming in here. Hey, Nick, I know it's kind of gross from the 815 area code, but now this is through 10 or 12 days, I'll pour in the Northern Territory. We love and we always pack chicken in that way, and it's not bad depending on how you prepare it. Just throw it on the open fire. Coke has Mr. Pibb for Dr. Pepper. Yeah, Mr. Pibb is good. Mr. Pibb is actually a good product. It's not Dr. Pepper, but it tastes like Dr. Pepper. Bakery guy says, I worked at the Jewels in the 70s. Yummy cola, not yummy. All bleach is the same, so it doesn't matter. All the ingredients are the same. Well, yeah, I can realize. I'm not going to go nuts and buy, like, I have to have Clorox or I won't get bleach at all. But, yeah, yummy cola. Mix and match, man. Get your lemon lime, get your root beer, get your grape, get your cola. Yummy cola, man. Huge, huge Jewel knockoff brand in the 70s and 80s. 773, what about the yummy brand stuff from the Jewels in the 70s and 80s? Yummy ice cream was great. Actually, the yummy ice cream was great. The yummy brand ice cream was actually really good. And the pop was cheap. That's the only reason we drank it. Because you can get like a case for two for like a buck or something, like $2 or something. Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a break here? We'll come back. We got more generic and knockoff items to talk about. Some of these are really ridiculous, and we've got more here. And really, you should check out all the pictures and the details on our on the BuzzFeed article that we have hooked up on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NickDShow. Facebook.com/NickDShow. All right. Hey, by the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after this. Don't you forget about me. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how's it going? We're live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. I'm Nick DiGilio. How's it going? And we are here and talking about some knockoffs, some ridiculous product knockoff, and some generic brand names as well, generic versions of brand names. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about some really garbage roles that actors took just for the money, and we're going to talk about some of the most paused movie scenes of all time. But we want to hear from you guys here. The phone lines are open. The text lines are open. Do you buy the generic stuff? What are some of the more ridiculous knockoff items that you've seen? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Get in here right now. By the way, again, I really urge you to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow because we have a link to this BuzzFeed article that I'm looking at, and it's got all the pictures of these insanely hilarious and ridiculous knockoff items. So facebook.com/NickDShow. And we got that. Oh, Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Who was that?
That's coming to us from Tim, a little Simple Minds.
Tim, Simple Minds. Yeah. All right. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. So get your requests in. Hey, by the way, just a little... tell you about what's coming up on tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, we're going to have Rick Geezer in from Sports Songs. Hockey kicks off, the NHL kicks off this week, and every time we have a new professional sport that kicks off, we love to have Rick in studio. He has a collection of sports songs, and we love hearing them, and so we're going to have a special hockey edition of Sports Songs tomorrow morning with Rick Geezer. And then today actually marks the anniversary of Johnny Carson taking over The Tonight Show. And that's a pretty big anniversary because Johnny Carson rules. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that I was obsessed with Johnny Carson, and I love watching the reruns. And you can watch him on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 on Antenna TV. And they're the classic. It's all the classic ones from like the 70s and early 80s and stuff like that, having all the great bits. You know, you got your Karnak, you got, you know, the Tea Time movie. All the regular bits, plus, you know, great stars and regular people who would show up. Anyway, when Johnny took over The Tonight Show, you know, he became a legend, the best ever. And so in honor of that anniversary, which is today, but tomorrow we're going to do a special big salute to Johnny Carson. And again, if you want to watch some really great Johnny Carson stuff, you got to put on Antenna TV. Weeknights at 10 p.m. to watch the Johnny Carson show on Antenna TV. So in honor of that anniversary, we'll do a little tribute to Johnny Carson tomorrow. So that's what's coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's get back to some of these texts. We're talking about generic brands or knockoff brands. Some are hilarious. Some are actually pretty good. 815 area code says, Jewel has Chef's Kitchen pizzas that are just like bar pizza. They're very good thin crust pizza. No, the Chef Kitchen's pizzas have always been good. Always been good. 224 area code. Does anybody remember the members only knockoff jackets? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's 82, 83. Yeah. Members only. God, I remember when that was a thing. The members only jacket. You weren't alive for that.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing. Have you not? Do you not know about the members only jackets?
I mean, kind of by cultural osmosis. I watched I Love the 80s. They talked about it on there, but I never really understood what the big deal
was.
It was
huge. They were huge. You were cool if you had a members only jacket. I had a members only jacket.
Oh, so you were a member.
Mm-hmm. Canadian Bill says Signature brand is available at all Albertsons stores, including the Jewels and the Safeways and the Albertsons. Have you tried the pumpkin spice Spam yet? That's Canadian Bill. No, I have not.
We're going to have to go on eBay.
I guess we're going to have to, yeah. I mean, I'll try it. I don't think it's going to be good. but I'll try it. I never really thought that Spam needed any pumpkin spice. How about pumpkin spice treat? Do they have a pumpkin spice treat? 239 area code says, Little Debbie's pretty much pegged you as a counterfeiter in fifth grade. Everybody's got Hostess and you've got Little Debbie's.
Hey, man, I liked Little Debbie.
I did not.
I liked their brownies. They were like kind of thicker. They were like...
No, I know a lot of people who like Little Debbie, but I think my dad likes Little Debbie's. My dad's got a ridiculous sweet tooth. It's crazy. And my dad can eat constantly. Like, if it were possible to eat for 24 hours a day, my dad would do that. 630 area code says, I used to have Shasta Cola in the hospital when I was a kid. I've never seen it outside of a hospital. Oh, no, come on, man.
Shasta?
Yeah, Shasta.
The only mention I've ever heard of Shasta was on Futurama. That's the only time I've ever
heard. It's a real thing. They didn't make it up for Futurama. Shasta's real. Shasta was popular. I remember back in
really?
Yeah, Shasta was popular.
Shasta.
All right, let's look at this. Dr. Oetker's Big American's Pizza. This is the next one here. How does this sound, though? I mean, this is just weird. It's Big American's Pizza, and I'm looking at it. It looks terrible. It looks like there's corn on it. And, I mean, it looks like pepperoni. Corn is the only thing that I can make out of this. And some other green stuff, like maybe green peppers. Doesn't appear to be a lot of sauce or cheese on the Big American's Pizza. But it says crispy outside, soft inside. That's what your selling point for Big American's Pizza. Because us Big Americans, we like our pizzas crispy outside and soft inside. And this, by the way, is the Supreme. I can't read what the ingredients are on the label, but it certainly looks like there's some corn on here. It looks to me like there's some corn and some mushrooms, a few mushrooms, something green, maybe peppers, maybe peas at this point. If they're going to put on the Big American's Pizza, they're going to put corn on there. They may as well put peas. Let me just put it to you this way. It does not look like a very appetizing pizza. And another way of describing pizza in a very unappetizing way is saying crispy outside, soft inside. It doesn't even make sense. All right, how about this? A knockoff of like a Barbie doll. I believe this is in an Asian country. Benign Girl. It's battery operated, creative, and it plays various music. She's got a super flip phone. It comes with a super it's her flip phone. It's Benign Girl's flip phone. So this is from the Benign Girls collection. She looks pretty much like Barbie, except she's called Benign Girl. But you got her flip phone. You've got Benign Girl's flip phone, so you can call Benign Girl. And it says, this is all it says. It says, beautiful girl, press any button. Super telephone, try me, press button. Benign Girl.
I'd be interested to what, I wonder what would come out.
I don't know, but it would be benign.
Yeah, nothing that could hurt you.
Exactly. The translation, we've talked about this before. Some of the way that things are translated into different countries. Like we did the whole, remember some time ago we did like what movie titles were in different countries?
Yeah.
Which are just, it's hilarious. Completely hilarious. So Barbie or whatever is Benign Girl. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello. There was an episode of Will and Grace with Kevin Bacon, and the running bit was that he was very cheap. And he has Will and Grace over his apartment. He offers them Shasta Cola and Hydrox cookies.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Shasta Cola and Hydrox cookies as opposed to, you know, Coca-Cola and, of course, Oreos.
Yep.
So, all right. Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Nice. Yep.
Hydrox.
You don't know Hydrox?
No. That's and they're supposed to be a knockoff of
Oreos. Yeah.
They good?
No.
Okay.
They're some people like Hydrox cookies. They don't just make the Oreo knockoff. They make a bunch of knockoffs.
Okay.
But the one that say. but the big one is the Oreo knockoff. That's the one. But they, yeah, Hydrox. H-Y-D-R-O-X.
It sounds like something you pick up at the pharmacy.
Look it up. Hydrox. H-Y-D-R-O-X. And just type in Hydrox cookies, and you'll see. Boom. And it's like the outline of a fat chef is their logo. Yeah, no, they would sell big. I mean, I don't know if they're still around. I don't know if they still sell. But when I was at the Jewels, you know, doing stock, putting stuff on the shelf, they sold big.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. See?
Well, you know, if you got to save a buck.
You go Hydrox instead of Oreo. Yeah, that's a real thing. 816 area code says, how about the porn flicks that are retitled to slightly resemble the Hollywood counterparts? Example, Riding Miss Daisy. Okay, let's not go down that road. Okay, you know Skittles?
Of
familiar
course.
With Skittles?
I like a good Skittle.
You like a sour Skittle?
I do like sour Skittles.
Okay, from KC Candy, if you want to save a little money, you can get sour Frittles. Sour, fruity, chewy candy. Sour Frittles. It comes in a very delightfully colorful package. But it's Frittles. It's not Skittles. Don't be fooled. All right, how about this one? Johnny Worker's Red Labial.
As in supposed to be Johnny Walker's?
Yeah, exactly. It's Johnny Worker. Old Scotch Whiskey. And it's got, I mean, they really, I mean, first of all, the Johnny Walker... I mean, there's some copyright infringement here because the logo, you know, the guy with the cane and the top hat, it's pretty much the same, except they've blurred it. And underneath it, it says Johnny Worker instead of Johnny Walker. Johnny Worker. All right, how about this one? A knockoff brand, Dolce and Banana. That's pretty cool, though. I think that's pretty funny.
That sounds like something you might get at, like, a, I don't know, like a Spencer's Gifts.
Dolce and Banana. Instead of Sony, there's Sonya. They sell some earbuds here. Sonya earbuds. And the logo is a very weird-looking angelic woman's face. But that's Sonya. And it's got it's the same font as Sony, except it's S-O-N-I-A, Sonya. How about this? Great Value. And the cans look exactly the same. You ready for this? Great Value. Same looking cans. Same exact looking cans. One of them is butter-flavored cooking spray, and the other is lemon-scented furniture polish. You don't want to mix those up. I mean, seriously, they look exactly the same. You'd have to look down because one on the bottom of the page has lemons and the other has pancakes on the bottom of the page. But otherwise, the font, the color of the cans are exactly the same. So don't mix that up because you don't want furniture polish on your pancakes. Oh, man. And then there are, finally, this is our last one here on the BuzzFeed article, but if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. The Mighty Mutant Power Turtles, Battle of the Secretive Goo. It's bubblegum. It's the Mighty Mutant Power Turtles, Battle of the Secretive Goo.
And it's gum.
It's gum.
Like, how do you...
It says video gum. I don't know what even... It's bubble gum, but it says video gum. It looks like it's a VH tape, but it says video gum. And it says on the bottom of the package, bubble gum. And you need to see the characters themselves.
Hey, do you want some secretive goo?
Secretive goo from the Mighty Mutant Power Turtles.
Jeez.
That's hilarious. All right, we got a few more texts here, and we're going to wrap up this the talk here of knockoffs and generic items. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. More after this.
To make a dream survive, to come a storm inside.
Yeah, there it is. Part two of your Simple Minds. Double, triple, twofer. Tuesday, two for Tuesday. Yeah, maybe for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number, and we are here. Here till 5 a.m. How's it going? Hey, after the 3:30 news, we are going to jump into some really garbage and terrible roles that actors took just for the money. And I think that can open up even more of a conversation because a lot of actors have taken terrible roles. A lot of good actors have been in bad movies and have been bad in movies. And there, Michael Caine in Jaws: The Revenge admitted he took the role because he wanted to spend 3 months in the Bahamas and add on to his own house. And he knew the movie was terrible. So you got to admire the honesty, I guess. So right now we're still talking about generic and knockoffs. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 301 area code says, a few years ago, Dollar Tree stores had these unauthorized monster figures, playing cards, posters, and monster figures holding baseball bats. They had Dracula, the Mummy, and even the werewolf from Curse of the Werewolf. So they had an Oliver Reed, unauthorized Oliver Reed action figure. 773 area code says, what creeps me out is buying packaged food items at a dollar store. Old cookies, strange soup, bread with half a life, not a shelf life. Yeah, I don't go to dollar stores. My parents do. They go to dollar stores for certain things that you can save, you know, like you can save money on. But I've heard from my dad that they have some weird stuff in dollar stores.
Very weird stuff.
Like you can find some just like very, very strange knockoff, unauthorized weird stuff in dollar stores. And now they're like 27 different dollar stores themselves, because you've got your Dollar Tree, you've got your Dollar General. There's like five different kinds of dollar stores that you can go to. What's the difference?
That's a good question. There's a Dollar Tree around the corner from my house that I went to one time to get some detergent. Yeah. I was like, I don't need to spend that much money on detergent. And I picked up some LA's Totally Awesome Stain Lifter laundry detergent, and the minute I opened the cap, it smelled so bad that I immediately got rid of it. I was like, "I'm not going to wash your clothes
in that.
Not a chance."
Yeah, but I, you know, like there's a dollar by my folks' house. There's a I don't even know what it is now. It's a Dollar General, I guess. It's a Dollar General. It used to be the Irving Park Bowling Alley. It used to be the Irving Park Lanes. I bowled my high game there. I bowled my high game of all time there at Irving Park Lanes. We used to bowl there all the time.
What was your highest score?
289.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I blew one frame and I wanted to kill myself. I've never rolled it. I never rolled a 300, but 289, that's the highest I ever rolled. I was on a bunch of leagues when I was younger. And I haven't bowled in a long time, but I'm good. I'm actually a good bowler. But yeah, we used to go there all the time. My friend, like, hey, listen, my friend Joe, he was a great bowler too. And that was one of the first, Irving Park Lanes, is at Irving near Major, right by the McDonald's I used to work at when I was in high school, and right down the block from where I went to high school, and just a few blocks away from the patio theater, which is right around the corner from where my parents live. So that's like, I still frequent the Northwest side over there all the time. But yeah, we used to go there all the time. The thing about the Irving Park Lanes was Irving Park Lanes was one of the first bowling alleys in the city to have the automatic scoring. you know, when the and everybody, I mean, all bowling alleys have automatic scoring now. People don't even know how to keep score now. Do you know how to keep score in bowling?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
There's an entire unit in gym class.
What?
We went to every other day we would go to the bowling alley in Crystal Lake, and they would make us do the scoring. We'd bowl and then learn how to do the scoring.
How does that have to do with your high school education?
I don't know. It's maths.
Yeah. It's a good skill to know, I think.
It helped me later when I was in a league briefly at the Fireside Bowl.
Oh, good old Fireside. I was on a league there when I was 10.
Yeah.
Like a kids' league. I was there. This was back when it was just a bowling alley. It wasn't a punk rock place. It was just a bowling alley. But yeah. But no, I mean, you know. But it was so cool, and it was so primitive too. Like with the first electronic computer, you know, the computer scoring that was automatic. Like if you got three strikes in a row, a very bad Atari looking turkey would pop up on the screen and flash.
Yeah, I mean, I like keeping score by hand.
Oh, I do. I love it, man. Yeah. I mean, that's part of bowling.
Because then you can quote Lebowski.
It's like people screaming at you about, no, that's wrong. You know,
mark it zero.
Yeah. but no, that was it was quite the thing. I remember when they first brought them in, because we had friends who worked there. We knew guys who worked at the bowling alley. And that's one of the reasons why we went there all the time. We used to bowl for like nothing, you know, being there for 3 hours bowling. We pay like $4. But I remember it was a big deal. They were like, oh, man, we're getting automatic scoring. We're getting a big, elaborate computer system to do automatic scoring on the bowling, on the lanes. And when it came in, we were like, ooh. And it's like the lamest. Now, if you look at it now, it's barely above Atari 2600. But it was big, big news then. But, yeah, Irving Park Lanes. Now it's a Dollar General. So, all right. Miss Irving Park Lanes. Not like I'd go there tomorrow or anything, so I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, let's take a break. The news is up after this.
If it seems a little time is needed, decisions to be made.
The good advice of friends unheeded, the best of plans mislaid.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? We are live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. You guys program the bumps every morning. Here's the theme today. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who requested Human League?
That's coming to us from Jay.
Jay. All right, there you go. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And, you know, sometimes actors take roles that are pretty terrible, especially early in their career, you know, before they're really famous. You look back and you go, oh, my God, this person was in that movie. And then a lot of people, you know, a lot of actors actually have taken some parts after they've become famous and after they've, you know, become critically acclaimed, and they're also terrible. So we're jumping around here talking about some terrible roles for actors that they have taken, and we're going to start off with some of the stuff that people took when they were really young, so they kind of have an excuse. Now, some of these I don't even know. I don't even remember any of these. But if you guys want to jump in, when actors have taken on some terrible roles, so 301 area code says you mentioned yesterday two of the biggest taking roles for money actors, and that's Eric Roberts and Nicolas Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage, Eric Roberts has made like 85,000 movies. If you look at his IMDb page, Eric Roberts has made 90,000 movies. Now he's making money doing walk-in bathtub commercials. Nicolas Cage, though, will do anything. I'm convinced Nicolas Cage will just do anything.
But it's led to some exciting stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, like every once in a while you go, oh, yeah, that's right. He's a good actor. Because there's a period of time, a long period of time where it's like, what is this crap? And he does all these straight-to-video movies where he's terrible in them. But then something like, you know, like Joe comes out. And you go, oh, oh, right.
Or Mandy.
Well, yeah, but Mandy is, you know, like that's insane Nicolas Cage.
That's true.
Like, and it's fun. I like Mandy. I thought it was good. And I thought he was, you know, caging it insanely, which is, you know, what you want from him in that. But, like, Joe is like a normal human being performance. You know what I mean? Like, it's an eccentric kind of performance. Mm-hmm. But it's not like him going, you know, like, and screaming and acting like a loon. Like in Mandy, which is fine, because I like to watch Nicolas Cage act like a maniac.
I am looking forward to him in Color Out of Space.
Yeah.
Doing a little Lovecraft.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Nicolas Cage. I really don't. You know, I know he bought dinosaur bones, and, like, he spent, you know, millions of dollars on stupid crap, and then he was in debt, and that's why he's doing all these awful movies, so he can pay bills. You know, and when I see something like Joe, I'm like, oh, that's cool, that's awesome. But then I get disappointed because I'm like, well, you're capable of being really great.
What I think is really weird is that this upcoming Color Out of Space is him and Richard Stanley directing.
Yeah. Well, when was the last time he did anything?
I think Island of Dr. Moreau.
I think Moreau was the last one he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that documentary. About the making of that movie is unbelievable, and what happened on the set of that movie is insane. I can't believe Richard Stanley has not written a book about it, because he said he was going to. For those of you who don't know, there was this movie called Island of Dr. Moreau, which is a remake of the 70s version of Island of Dr. Moreau, which is a remake of Island of Lost Souls. And it is notoriously the 96 version of that, which was the Richard Stanley, originally directed by Richard Stanley and adapted by Richard Stanley, which eventually was taken over by John Frankenheimer, is one of the most notoriously terrible movies and had one of the most ridiculous on-set events that have ever happened in a movie. You had Brando, you had Val Kilmer, Fairuza Balk, David Thewlis. And it was out of control. Like, Brando showed up, didn't know what the hell was happening, insisted on having the world's smallest man be in every scene with him, dressed like him. Val Kilmer showed up being crazy Val Kilmer, not good Val Kilmer, and getting into fights with Brando. The sets were wiped out by weather because they were in the Pacific somewhere, and the sets got wiped out by like a hurricane or a typhoon or whatever it is. And so that tripled the budget, and they kept having delays because all the actors were insane. Like, David Thewlis was having an affair with Fairuza Balk. Brando was being Brando, which means Brando was being insane. And so Richard Stanley got fired from the movie. They fired him because he couldn't handle the complete and utter insanity. So they brought in John Frankenheimer, who was an old Hollywood pro, who just came in and just put the camera somewhere and said, go ahead. And meanwhile, Richard Stanley, and this was a passion project of Richard Stanley's, one of his favorite stories of all time, took him years to try and get this thing made. He gets fired, so he came back to the set. And the movie features a whole bunch of people in creature makeup, like, you know, like half animal, half man creature makeup, because that's what it was about. It was about a guy who does genetic experiments on animals and on people on this island. So Richard Stanley came back, still had friends on the set, because most of the people on that set were loyal to him, because Brando and Kilmer and everybody else involved were all being jerks, and he had no control over the weather, obviously. So the people on the set were, like, still, you know, they liked Richard Stanley. So when he went back on the set, he told the head makeup artist that he wanted to be in makeup. So what he did was, the director who got fired, they put heavy creature makeup on him, and he stayed on the set and observed what was happening without anybody knowing it. And, I mean, what he saw was unbelievable, and how that movie got made was ridiculous. But, yeah, that's another one that falls into the category, like, what the hell are we doing in this movie? But Brando didn't know where he was half the time. He didn't know what was going on. Did I ever tell you the story about what he did on the set of The Freshman? No, what Brando did on the set of The Freshman. There's a movie, again, that you have to see. It's brilliant.
It's him and
Matthew Broderick.
Matt Broderick.
Penelope Ann Miller, Frank Wally, Andrew Bergman. It's a great movie. It truly, truly, truly great movie. And this was at a time when Brando was also nuts. This was in 1990. And, you know, he had already started his decline to complete insanity at that point. He was big and, you know, he was a fat dude. He was essentially aping his role as Vito Corleone in The Freshman. He's kind of doing Vito Corleone, and it's a brilliant performance. It's a really brilliant and really sweet performance like you would never expect. And the chemistry between Matthew Broderick and Brando was great. And it's a really clever, really funny movie. Like, really, really great. But he was a lunatic on the set. Like, you did not know what you were going to get. You had no idea what Brando you were going to get. So he was doing, like, people, the press was there, because it was a big deal that Brando was in this movie at this time, because it was a long time when he wasn't doing anything. So to get Brando to be in your movie was a big deal. So the press was hounding everybody, and he would, like, one day he'd go, "This is the worst movie I've ever worked on in my life. This director has no talent whatsoever. He's a terrible writer. I can't stand anybody on the set." He's just trashing everybody. And then the next day he's like, "This is the finest movie I've ever done in my life, perhaps my favorite performance of all time." So he's being, like, schizophrenic and nuts. This is a true story of what happened on the set. I had a friend who worked on the movie. So one day they're shooting this scene. There's a really, really wonderful and sweet scene where Brando, this is kind of late in the film, where Brando shows up at Matthew Broderick's dorm. And they have this really wonderful conversation. He sits down and they have this really wonderful, really, it's a really sweet and beautiful scene within the movie. But getting this scene done was a nightmare. So they set the whole thing up, the dorm room set, it's all set up. Brando's supposed to come in, hit his mark, turn around, say a line, sit down in the chair. That's the first take. That's the first shot. So Brando's in his trailer. So they send a PA back to get Brando from the trailer. So they knock on the door. Nothing. They knock on the door. "Mr. Brando, you want it on the set?" Nothing. Knocks again. "Mr. Brando, you want it on the set?" And from inside the door, you hear,
"There is no Mr. Brando here."
And it's Brando. And the PA is like, "Oh, God, come on, man. Please, Mr. Brando, you want it on the set?"
"No Brando here."
So this goes on for like 5 minutes. So finally, PA goes back to the set, tells the director, he's doing some weird voice, maintaining that there is no Brando there. And they're like, "Okay, give it 5 minutes and go back." So PA goes back.
"There is no Mr. Brando here."
It's like six more times. So finally, Bergman has to go back. The director has to go back and knocks on the door. "Please, Marlon, we really, you know, this is costing us a lot of money right now. Please come out to the set and do the scene. It's not, there's not a whole lot that you have to do in the scene today. So please come on out."
"No Brando here."
So they're like, "All right," so now they got to scrap it. Like, millions of dollars are just ticking by, you know, ticking by. Brand, you know, you got Matthew Broderick on set going, "Why?" You know, Matthew Broderick, a pretty hefty celebrity at that point, too. And so he's just like, "What's going on?" So finally, Brando comes out. No, oh, like, "Okay, here he is. Okay, great." So he comes out, and he weighs like 350 pounds at this point. He walks out, and they're like, "Okay," and so Bergman's like, "Okay, here's what you do. You take three steps, you turn, you say your line, you sit in the chair. That's it." He goes, "Okay." So he calls action. Brando walks, he hits his spot, turns around, says hello, and slams down in the chair until it shatters beneath him. Then he's laying on his back with shards of chair laying all over the set, going, "Ha, ha, 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 ha," and he gets up and walks back to his trailer. So yell cut, get another chair, time goes by, they've got to replace the chair, they clean up the set, they replace the chair, PA goes back, "Mr. Brando, you want it on the set?"
"There is no Mr. Brando here."
This, again, five more minutes.
"No Brando here."
And again, they're waiting. Now, almost a full day has gone by now, and they haven't gotten one shot. And I think they were doing pickups around him. You know what I mean? They were doing some pickups shots while they were waiting for him. So Brando finally comes out again. Walks out on the set. They go, "All right, thank you, Mr. Brando. All you have to do is, you know, walk or hit your mark, turn, say the line, and sit down in the chair." He's like, "Okay, I got it." Action. He walks, he hits his mark, he says hello, slams down in the chair again, shatters beneath him again. On his back, ha, 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 walks back to his set. So this goes on until they reinforce the chair. This goes on like four more times. He goes back to his trailer. They go to the trailer.
"No Brando here."
That happens again. He comes out. He finally comes out, slams the chair, shatters it again, laughs his ass off, goes back. This goes on, I think it was five, six times in a row. And now, like, it's like 10:30 at night. The crew is beside themselves. You know, Matthew Broderick, who, you know, while this was happening, he went back to his set and was probably just watching movies or just, you know, like, eating or whatever. So finally they get it. So he comes out, and now Bergman is just like, he's like, all right, that's it. He goes to his, he goes to the trailer. He's like, that's it, Marlon. That's it. I'm calling it a day, and I'm going to have a, I'm going to have to talk with your agent. And he's saying this through the door because Brando's inside going, no, Brando's not here. So Bergman goes back to the set, and then like a minute later, Brando comes out and he's like, let's do one more take. Brando says, let's just do one more take. And he goes, all right, fine. So he's expecting, you know, him to fall, smash the chair. He walks in, does his turn, says his line, sits down in the chair, and says his next line. Okay. Great. Cut. Print. Okay, let's, can we do the next shot? Let's do the next shot. Brando doesn't leave the set. Doesn't do the, so they shot almost the entire scene that rest of that night, and it's one of the best scenes in the movie. It's truly one of the best scenes in the movie. Like a really beautiful, beautiful scene. But the story behind how they, I mean, that's Brando. That's what it was like working with Brando. They went through like six different chairs. They had to reinforce the last one. That's just, that's what, you know, that, that's one example of what it was like to work with Brando during that time period. Lunatic. Edward Norton was in a movie with Brando, Robert De Niro, called The Score. Have you seen that movie?
I have seen
it. Okay, it's directed by Frank Oz. Brando would not refer to Frank Oz as Oz. He would only call him Miss Piggy or Yoda. That would be the only, and he wouldn't talk to him. He would say, tell Mr. Yoda to do this, or tell, you know, tell Miss Piggy to do that. So at one point, Edward Norton, who, this is a dream role for him, he said, I took that movie, they interviewed Edward Norton about it. It's not a particularly great movie, but I like it, but it's not great. But anyway, Edward Norton was like, well, why did you take the movie? And he said, just for the poster. That was the only reason. He's like, I just wanted to be on that poster. So with Brando and with De Niro. So at one point he talks about the making of the movie, shooting the movie. And to his left is Brando, and to his right is De Niro. Okay, and he's sitting between these guys. Wow, I'm sitting between these guys. And time goes by, and they have to set up the shot. He turns over, he looks to his right. De Niro's asleep. He's like, ugh. He's sleeping. He turns over, he looks at Brando. Brando's pouring mineral water on his chest. Like Bluto in Animal House. He's pouring mineral water on his chest. And Norton is like, what am I... These are two of my absolute heroes. What is happening here? I'm only human, a flesh and blood afraid. Human, born to make mistakes. I love this song. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs of the 80s. You know who produced it? Terry Thomas and Huey Lewis.
No way.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean.
The real guys, not Terry Thomas and Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Terry Thomas, Huey Lewis produced that. All right. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Talking about actors who took terrible roles to pay the bills. And the first batch that we're going to talk about, and we want to hear from you guys. What good actors, bad movies. That's what we're talking about. Sometimes good actors are bad. Sometimes they take roles that they shouldn't have taken. We talk about how every other role that Nicolas... No, not every other role. Most of the roles that Nicolas Cage has taken in the past few years have been just for money. And they're terrible, and he's usually pretty terrible in them. But these are just early ones. Like Ryan Reynolds, he's become an A-lister thanks to his massive success playing Deadpool. But in 1993's Ordinary Magic, in which he played a boy raised in India by an activist father, he's basically a white teenage Gandhi. He is standing up to his teacher in a painful attempt with an Indian accent. When his dad dies, he's forced to move in with his aunt in Canada, where he's oh so hilariously at odds with his white peers. In one scene, he gets served turkey but refuses because he's a vegan, like all the great Indian gurus. The trailer alone is a veritable showcase on the Maharishi's inner strength and spiritual superiority. So that seems like a mistake. I've not seen that movie. Jeff Goldblum. How about this one? Jeff Goldblum was a gross rapist in Death Wish. Yes, I remember that. Nearly 20 years before Goldblum captured our hearts with Jurassic Park, he had the distinct honor of being freak number one in Death Wish. So this is Ian Malcolm thugging around in a grocery store and sexually harassing a cashier. Having completed their errands, he and his gang get distracted by Charles Bronson's wife and daughter. They follow him home. They rob, beat, and rape them. And Goldblum is one of the, he's freak number one. He's talked about that in the past. That, like, yeah, man, yeah, it's really nice when that movie shows up on cable.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do at the time.
Yeah.
It just sucks that it has to be Death Wish.
You know, it's funny that they go, oh, he warmed our hearts in Jurassic Park. You know what, man? He was around for a long time before Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but Dr. Ian Malcolm is great.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you don't like that
movie. I'm a Seth. If I'm going to pick, I'm picking Seth Brundle over that.
That's fair.
No, I don't like the Jurassic Park movies. I like the last one. I thought the last one was the best one. I think the effects in the first one were obviously amazing, especially for that time period.
Sure.
But, man, you know, when it turns into a Friday the 13th movie with the Raptors, I'm like, come on, man.
It's so tense.
It's not tense.
Yes, it is, no, man. Stan Winston doing some remarkable
Yeah, the effects are great. Here. Movie, no. Are there going to be some dinosaurs in your dinosaur park? That was my first thought when Jeff Goldblum said that. I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been sitting here for, what is it, an hour? 45 minutes? Nothing. Don Cheadle is one of the most versatile actors of our generation. He can transition seamlessly from 70s porn star to Rhonda's Oscar Schindler, and that's the kind of range that you get when you get into the Avengers. But before Cheadle became a war machine we all know and love, he got his ass kicked by a 9-year-old child. In the short-lived TV series called Sidekicks, a crime drama about a young boy named Ernie Lee, who uses the ancient martial arts secrets in his family to protect himself and others on the mean streets of L.A. in the 80s. In one episode, Cheadle plays a gang leader who attempts to rob the platonic ideal of grandpa when Lee intervenes, complete with a cut-off leather vest, fingerless gloves, and a hanging cross earring. Cheadle soon finds out that he and the rest of the village people are messing with the wrong third grader. Ernie lays into the gang with roundhouse kicks and wacky antics, but Cheadle is taken out early in the fight with a single kick that left him cowering on the pavement. Joaquin Phoenix was a bloodthirsty superboy. Oh, so he's done some DC before.
Has he? No. What would that have been in?
In Little Hercules, which was an episode of the late 80s Superman spinoff Superboy, Joaquin Phoenix tries to impress a girl by breaking the activation codes to a Navy submarine, but then instead he accidentally activates them. Hey, who among hasn't been there, right? Phoenix and a young Clark Kent are then tasked to stopping the submarine before it can cause mass destruction. Before saving the world, however, Phoenix drifts off into a daydream about having Superboy's powers, in which he casually murders a couple of dozen people.
As he's set to do again, I'm guessing, in Joker.
Yeah. Brad Pitt was two completely different characters on Growing Pains.
I do remember that.
I do remember that, too. Again, these are roles that people are taking when they were young. You can't really blame them for that. We want to talk about some of the ones that people took when they should have known better. Now, here's another one. Scarlett Johansson, who, by the way, I vividly remember seeing her in The Horse Whisperer and going, she is spectacular. And she did not go the Lohan route. I said that about Lohan, but Scarlett Johansson lived up to it. She was in a movie called My Brother the Pig. It was a low-rent fantasy, which features Judge Reinhold and Eva Mendez. She plays the sister of a boy named George who gets magically transformed into a farm animal after he accidentally dips snack food into ancient crystals that have been passed down for generations. So you can check her out in My Brother the Pig. Which I believe was made before Horse Whisperer, I would guess. So
I'm going to have to pass.
Yeah. Okay, what about other actors, big actors, actors who were terrible in movies and you didn't want them to be terrible, and the movies that they made were terrible. So a good actors, bad movies, good actors, bad performances, good actresses, bad performances as well. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number, 312-981-7200. And we'll talk more about it. We've got some big actors here that I want to mention and some bad performances that we're going to mention as well. So 312-981-7200. That's all coming up. Two for Tuesday continues as well. 312-981-7200. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and the news will be here. Welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, man. 312-981-7200. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows at 5 with the opening bell. The great Steve Cochran at 6. Yeah, with your morning drive. So welcome back, everybody. It is Tuesday. And we are talking about good actors who have appeared in bad movies or good actors who have given terrible performances. And we were talking a little bit about actors who took roles early in their career where they probably look back and go, uh-oh, when they start to show up. So we got a few of those. And, you don't blame people for taking terrible roles early in their career. They're trying to be working actors. But sometimes those roles do show up on cable. You know, like after, Teen Wolf wasn't going to see the light of day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, that was a straight-to-video.
Michael J. Fox was going to be a straight-to-video?
Yeah, because it was shot before Back to the Future.
Oh, that's a problem, yeah.
It was made before Back to the Future. And then when Back to the Future came out, they were like, get this thing in the theaters now!
I love Teen Wolf.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. He's a wolf man, and he plays basketball.
I've only seen it once.
I'd probably watched it about 50 times too, Tom.
Yeah.
Something weird about that movie, but I couldn't stop watching it.
People, you know, it inspired a Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O, with Jason Bateman.
Ooh, that's a witty title.
Yeah. I love it when they do sequels with the T-O-O. So, but yeah, so see, Teen Wolf, you can thank Robert Zemeckis again for the success of Teen Wolf, because otherwise it would have never seen the light of day.
Hey, man, happy to.
So, we're talking about actors, not those kind of roles where, like, you know, earlier in your career, you're like, yes, I book something. I play a wolf who plays basketball. And then you go, really? That's what you want to play? And you're like, yeah, because I don't have any money right now, and I'm trying to book some gigs as an actor. 301 area codes says a lot of actors started out doing low budget horror movies. Like Tom Hanks was in He Knows You Are Alone. Jennifer Aniston is in Leprechaun. Tom Selleck is in Daughters of Satan, to name just a few. Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Horror genre is a pretty good place to start. Lots of people started in the horror genre. Travolta was in The Devil's Reign. He melts in that movie. John Travolta melts in that movie. 219 area code. Mark Harmon in Summer School. Wait. So you're saying Mark Harmon's a great actor and Summer School is a bad movie and a bad performance? I think Summer School should be pretty high on his list of credits.
Isn't that with Kirstie Alley or something?
I don't know if Kirstie Alley's in it. I know that Courtney Thorne-Smith is in it.
Yeah, she's in it.
Is Kirstie Alley in it?
I believe so. I'm looking at
I remember there were two guys who pretended to be Siskel and Ebert, and they liked horror movies, and they did, like, gross-out gags.
Yeah, I remember
Courtney Thorne-Smith being really, really attractive in it. And I remember not hating it. I remember thinking it was okay.
Directed by Carl Reiner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Kyle Reiner movie. Here's Cheyenne on WGN. Hi, Cheyenne.
Good morning.
Morning.
How did you like the Aliens and Cowboys, or Cowboys and Aliens with Harrison Ford? Really, that was bad.
It's a terrible movie, but you know what? He's the only good thing in it.
Yeah, so that's right.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's, you know, because Harrison Ford, you know, for a long stretch of time was just grumpy Harrison Ford. Like, every movie he made, it was like he clearly didn't want to be there. He clearly didn't like the material. He seemed to be having a good time during Cowboys and Aliens.
Yes.
He did. All right, thanks. Thanks, Cheyenne.
Thanks. Bye.
That is a terrible movie, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A terrible movie.
Just adding to Jon Favreau's list of misses.
And who was it? Who else was in that? Daniel Craig?
I think, I always call her 13. Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde was in that? If I remember correctly, it had a pretty good cast. But it was, for me, I remember seeing it, and I hated the movie. It's an absolutely terrible movie. But I remember seeing it and going, wow, Harrison Ford's the best thing in this. He didn't seem like he was grumpy. He didn't seem like he was in a terrible mood. He seemed like he was actually having fun. Everybody else seemed to like, you know, they realized what a ridiculous movie they were in.
Who decided that that was going to be the script that they were going to make and make it like a summer tentpole. Like, really, who looked at that?
Was Favreau coming off of what?
He would have been coming off Iron Man.
Yeah.
But that's indicative of nothing. You got
Daniel Craig, you got Harrison Ford. I mean, these are both, you know. James Bond, you got Indiana Jones in the same movie.
Just.
And who else is in besides Olivia Wilde? Because I'm pretty sure it had more than, I think it had a pretty good cast. And a cast of people that can draw people and put butts in seats. Like, Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig can do that. And so can Favreau.
Sam Rockwell's in it.
See?
Yeah.
Well, he's not necessarily a big audience draw.
No. Yeah, people like Sam Rockwell and Paul Dano aren't exactly.
Yeah, but they're both great, though.
Walton Goggins appears in it.
See, again, great.
Keith Carradine.
Another great. See, I mean, it's an unbelievable cast. It's truly an unbelievable cast, and it's a terrible movie. I remember I saw it at the Davis, and I didn't pay, and I was like, what?
Oh, you were offended.
God, I went right by Ricochets immediately and got drunk immediately afterwards. But again, I was shocked by how much fun Harrison Ford seemed to be having. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
But he's having like a really good time. Yeah, I was like, well, it's nice to see Harrison Ford is happy.
Hopefully he was just aware of how dumb the movie was, despite how serious they played it.
But you know what I'm talking about. That long stretch where Harrison Ford was just like, come on, dude, if you don't like the business, get out of it.
Yeah, no. I totally agree.
Like, he was miserable in the movies. He was miserable talking about the movies. He clearly didn't like to do press.
I feel like after he got done with doing the whole Jack Ryan thing, is when he started like, okay, I've had it.
You know, the thing about Harrison Ford is, like, especially during the press for 2049, he and Ryan Reynolds were having a blast, or Ryan Gosling were having a blast. And the press that they were doing for that, it was the funniest stuff that Harrison Ford had done in a long time. And of course, he's great in the movie, you know, in Blade Runner. And obviously, you know, it's a part, the Rick Deckard's a part that was near and dear to his heart. So, yeah, I mean, watching those guys do press for that was really fun. It was nice to see Harrison Ford, like, smiling, like he was on a talk show, like, laughing, instead of going, well, what's your next question? I'm Harrison Ford, I'm angry. Where's Callista? You know, I have an earring.
I'm baked 24/7.
I don't, you know. So,
no,
but yeah,
you,
but that
I,
Cowboys,
I agree.
Cowboys and Indians, it was terrible.
Yeah, and you can't watch that.
I'm looking at this where they've gathered up some movies where great actors give bad performances, and they include, and I disagree with this. They include Julie Andrews in a Blake Edwards movie, That's Life. It's from 1986. Not a popular movie. She plays Jack Lemmon's wife. And Jack Lemmon plays, you know, one of these, like rich guys who lives in Malibu, who constantly complains and is constantly, he's a hypochondriac. He's really annoying. And, he's married to a singer played by, Julie Andrews, who may or may not have throat cancer. So, which means not only is her career maybe over, but she might be dying. So this movie takes place over a weekend where they're waiting for the test results to come back from a biopsy. That's the basic of the movie. Now, they in this article, they say that Julie Andrews is bad in the movie. She's not bad in the movie. Jack Lemmon's not good in the movie. Way over the top. But it's, you know, it's got like Lemmon's family in it and stuff. Like his son is in it and all this other stuff. But it's not. I mean, it's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. But the thing that holds it together is Julie Andrews. All right, here's one that they picked. Kathy Bates in The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Wait, the one with Keanu?
Yeah.
God, I think it's because I'm pretty sure I fell asleep in that movie.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Yeah, although Keanu, not a bad choice. For that kind of role?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie, but...
But it says a space alien called Klaatu comes to Earth and ponders whether to wipe out humanity in this remake of the 1951 sci-fi classic. Kathy Bates made her reputation playing larger-than-life, yet deeply human personalities, but here, her blustery portrayal of the U.S. Defense Secretary consists of mainly issuing orders and doomsday pronouncements. Why Bates and other good actors signed up to do this movie, it's hard to fathom. I agree with that. It was a terrible movie. So, all right, there's another one. Kathy Bates, Day the Earth Stood Still. 312-981-7200 if you would like to join us. We would love to hear from you. We got some weather here for you, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about good actors in bad movies and good actors in bad performances. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. Who requested the Bengals?
It's coming to us from Jay.
Jay. All right, Jay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio, and we are back live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And sometimes good actors fall into bad roles, and sometimes good actresses and good actors fall into bad movies. And that's what we're talking about here. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we were also talking a little bit earlier about, some actors who are now very popular and, you know, critically acclaimed didn't start out that way. And a lot of actors, take parts that they go, ugh, this is going to look bad. But at the time, you're young, you want to book a movie or you book a TV show, and you take it. And then after you become really popular and famous, it comes back. And sometimes those parts haunt you. But it's not your fault. You just wanted to work. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here. 708 area code says Angelina Jolie in Cyborg 2. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. But again, she was just starting out. So, you know, you take stuff like Cyborg 2 when you're a starving actor. Although I'm assuming she wasn't starving since her father is John Voight and her mother is a famous model. But still, you want to get your name out there. You take stuff like Cyborg 2. 301 area code says Bruce Willis seems to be in the straight to video phase of his career now. Yeah, he's made a lot of straight to video movies, Bruce Willis. One of them just debuted on video on demand this past weekend. I was flipping around looking through the VOD because I wanted to watch The Day Shall Come with Anna Kendrick, which, by the way, is a really terrific movie. And I saw that Bruce Willis is in yet another straight to video. He's in a straight to video movie every 2 weeks, Bruce Willis. And when you're not making straight-to-video movies and you're doing a Death Wish remake, you should just stick to the straight-to-video movies.
And I, you could even say the director, really, as well. Eli Roth has just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, you know, Knock Knock did go straight-to-video, but it's a good movie. And I like The Green Inferno. I liked it. I've liked most of Eli Roth's movies. I hated Hostel 2 with a passion. I hated that movie.
Well, because it undercuts the entire first movie.
The first movie was great.
First movie's insane.
And it's hilarious. There was just a real delightful and, like, dark and sinister joy out of watching those D-bag Americans get their comeuppance. I just was like,
I will say, I love that movie. That is a mean movie.
It is.
Oh, it's mean.
Oh, and the kids are great.
Yeah.
Those kids are fantastic. I hated the second one so much. I was really looking forward to it, too, and I hated it. I like Cabin Fever. What else did he direct? I didn't mind the clock with the house in its stomach or whatever the hell.
The house with the clock in its walls.
Yeah, whatever. That was fine. It was fine. And I thought Knock Knock was great. I like Green Inferno. I don't hate Eli. I hate him as a person. Like, he is the personification of D-bag. So... All right, what do we got here? We got some more people who are calling in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hello. There was a movie that I recently caught on TV from 1985 called Movers and Shakers. It stars Charles Grodin, who also wrote it. It also stars Walter Matthau. It has Steve Martin, Gilda Radner, this incredible cast of people who were big stars at the time. It's a horrible movie that I guess I looked it up. It barely got released.
Yep.
It got horrible reviews at the time.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. A really terrible movie. That happens sometimes. You got these movies. Sometimes you look at the cast and you think, man, how does a movie with this kind of cast turn out so unbelievably bad? And that's one of them. Movies and Shakers is definitely one of them. I remember when it came out. Awful.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, John. Take care. Yeah, movers and shakers. Not good. So they pick Cate Blanchett here in this article. So what movie do you think they pick for Cate Blanchett?
Cate Blanchett. I don't know. I feel I could see them saying like The Chronicles of Narnia or something for some reason, even though she's good in it. But they might call it a bad movie.
Yeah, my choice was different than this, but they chose Robin Hood.
Is that
Russell Crowe Robin?
Oh yeah, that movie sucks.
And
it's so bad.
She plays Maid Marian in it, which is bad. Yeah. Which is I think really bad casting.
Totally.
But she's fine in it. The only movie I've ever seen Cate Blanchett where I was like, "What the hell are you doing?" is the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. But it's kind of not her fault.
No, she's terrible in it.
I thought it was I thought she was chewing scenery for fun, but
yeah.
Fair enough.
Let's see. 815 area code says Mars Attacks. Now, hey, look, do not diss Mars Attacks on my watch.
That movie's amazing.
It's hilarious.
No, just don't.
Everybody, and that's an amazing cast. And it also has Jack Nicholson does some of the best shut up of all time. When he's screaming at Rod Steiger. Rod Steiger. Nicholson plays the president. And he, at one point, Rod Steiger is, what is he, defense? Is the secretary of defense or something? Or he's the leader of leader of the military. And he comes in and is like screaming about how they need to blow everything up. And he's yelling at him. And then finally, Nicholson can't take it anymore. Do you have it?
General Deck. Not shut up. I am going to relieve you of your command.
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
I forgot his name was General Decker. Makes me think of Kristen. General Decker. I often called her that, actually. That was a nickname.
General Decker?
No, I'm kidding. I called her Decker. I still call her Decker. 815 area code, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Jingle All the Way. Well, yeah.
That's a spectacular film. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I used to love watching Jingle All the Way every year. Every year.
Yeah, but you're anti-Sinbad.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's not a good movie.
It's a terrible movie. Sinbad's the best thing in it. No, Phil Hartman's the best thing in it.
Yeah.
Actually, there's nothing good about that movie. It's a terrible movie. 224 area code says John Candy in The Clown Murders, a good actor, a terrible movie. Again, that's an early one. Yeah, that's an early one. 815 area code, Ray Milland, the man with two heads. The thing with two heads. Ray Milland, Ray Milland in the early 70s made a lot of bad choices. A lot of bad choices. That being one of them, and also he was in a movie called Frogs. Which is such a ridiculous movie. All right, here's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Oh, hi. I was a big Ray Milland fan last weekend at the Oscar, man.
Oh, no. Listen, at one point, Ray Milland was a great actor, not in the 70s.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He couldn't get hired in anything good.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, I'm talking about a similar situation. The Godfather's coming up on 50 years. Everybody did pretty good. They all got Oscars, Duvall, De Niro, Pacino. And James Caan sort of, in spite of some very great performances, he kind of went to featured roles and supporting roles. Elf was a big one for him. He got a good part there. But the last movie I remember seeing was called Undercover Granddad a few years ago.
Mm.
And he was rescuing his grandson's girlfriend who was kidnapped using those covert action Liam Neeson type skills that he had from his former Secret Service, you know. And Paul Sorvino and Louis Gossett were in it too.
Oh God. Wow, that sounds like a nightmare. Yeah. Undercover Grandpa. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Paula, thanks.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah, you know, James Caan had this he had a run in the 70s after the Godfather movies. He was doing some cool movies like Freebie and the Bean, Killer Elite, Rollerball. So James Caan had some stuff going in the 70s, and then he dropped off. And then he made Thief. And Thief was just like it was kind of a comeback for him because he made a few flops in a row. Thief went off, was fantastic, but then he was gone. Like after that, he dropped off. He made a movie called Hide in Plain Sight, which he also directed, which made no money, and I think that made him mad. It discouraged him. He had a comeback with a movie called Alien Nation, and that was a big comeback for him. That's where he was a cop, and he was teamed up with an alien cop, because now aliens and Earthlings live together. And Mandy Patinkin played the alien, and it was a really solid movie. In fact, they turned it into a TV show. And that was a big comeback for him. James Caan had a lot of comebacks.
Yeah.
And now he's just like character guy. He shows up in movies like Elf. He's great in Elf.
They cast him because he's James Caan. Yeah. Like, wouldn't it be funny if James Caan had to, like, be a dad?
But he's fantastic in Elf. I love him in that movie.
Oh, he's perfect. Yeah. And, of course, Bob Newhart.
Please, Bob Newhart.
As Papa Elf.
Yeah. When Bob Newhart shows up at the end of Horrible Bosses, it's one of my favorite. I mean, I love that movie. Horrible Bosses is one of my favorites. Second one was terrible. First, Horrible Bosses, one of my favorite comedies of the past 15 years. I love that movie. And when he shows up at the end, when Bob Newhart shows up at the end,
it's fun.
I was like, this is fantastic. All right, let's break. News is coming up after this. All right. Hey, welcome back, guys. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio. Two for Tuesday. You guys program our music bumps coming back from news and breaks. So it's fun to have you guys do that. And Two for Tuesday is what the theme is.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
It's coming to us from Steve.
Okay. There we go. So we are talking about bad movies with good actors, good actresses who give bad performances in bad movies. It happens. 312-981-7200. One more time, I want to mention what's happening tomorrow. In honor of hockey beginning, NHL kicking off the season. Hawks play in Prague on Friday. You can hear it in the afternoon here starting at 1 o'clock right here on WGN. Make sure you tune in for that. We're going to have Rick Geezer in. Rick Geezer, who is the guy who has sports songs. He collects sports songs. Those are songs that are sung by athletes or managers or anybody in the world of sports. And in honor of the NHL kicking off its season, we are going to have a hockey version of sports songs tomorrow morning. And today, in fact, marks the anniversary that Johnny Carson took over for The Tonight Show and became the host of The Tonight Show. So in honor of that anniversary, we're gonna do a little salute to Johnny Carson, who's one of my favorites, and I love all those classic Johnny Carson Tonight Show episodes, which, by the way, you can watch on Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m. I can't recommend it highly enough. Antenna TV every weeknight at 10 p.m. And they show, and on Saturday nights they show it at 9. They show all the classic Johnny Carson Tonight Shows, so you can watch Johnny Carson on the Antenna TV. Which, of course, is a great channel, but you really need to watch those. So in honor of Johnny Carson taking over The Tonight Show and that anniversary, we're going to pay tribute to Johnny Carson, talk about some of the best moments in the Johnny Carson regime of The Tonight Show, and reminisce a little bit about it, listen to some of the audio and all that cool stuff. So we're going to pay tribute to Johnny Carson. And again, if you ever want to catch up on some of the great, classic, unbelievably entertaining Johnny Carson shows, Antenna TV weeknights at 10. So that's what's coming up on the show tomorrow. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we were talking about good actors who have bad days. Here's Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
How you doing, man?
All right.
I just wanted to make a comment about the movie Lady Killers with Tom Hanks. I actually love Tom Hanks in that movie, but most people I talk to think it's the worst thing he's ever done.
Yeah. I don't hate it as much as most people do. You know, I mean, I actually think he's kind of funny in that movie. It's just that the problem is that it's a remake of such a great movie with such, you know, such incredible performances, in that movie that it's hard, you know what I mean? Like, everybody is comparing it to the original, and the original movie is an absolute classic. So I think that's the reason why people get so hyperbolic about it. You know what I mean?
And some of the vulgarity, the language, they didn't like that.
Yeah. So, all right, Scott, thanks, man.
All right, have a great day, man.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, The Lady Killers. Lady Killers is widely considered to be a pretty awful movie. And, I mean, I don't like it. I don't think it's a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't hate it as much as everybody else does. And, again, the problem is that it's just a... I mean, it's a remake of an absolute classic. You know, one of the classic comedies of all time. And it's hard to do that. There's no way that you can escape from that shadow when you're remaking a movie of that caliber. Especially if you're doing a different weird take on it. So... yeah. All right. How about this? Michael Caine. Now, Michael Caine, not unlike some of these guys like Nicolas Cage, Michael Caine has done a lot of movies where it's like, what? In this article that I'm looking at, they picked The Hand, which I love that movie. It's Oliver Stone's second movie as a director. Have you not seen The Hand?
I have not seen The Hand.
Michael Caine plays a cartoonist who loses his hand in a car accident, gets it ripped off, and then it comes back and crawls around and haunts and strangles people. Like, it's just you ever see Five Fingers? The Thing with Five Fingers. It's a classic, yes. Classic black and white movie about a severed hand that scurries across the floor. Well, that's what this is. This is Oliver Stone's take on it. And Michael Caine is completely unhinged in it. And they say it's like his worst. It's a terrible performance. Yeah. Now, this is the second movie that Oliver Stone directed. It's from 1981. Second movie he directed. The first being a horror film from 1974 called Seizure. With Hervé Villechaize and Jonathan Frid, who played Barnabas Collins. But, Seizure is this sort of legendary, terrible B-movie, and that's Oliver Stone's first movie. People don't realize that, he directed Seizure, he directed The Hand. You know, this was all before, you know, the success of that he had, you know, a few years later in the 80s. But, Seizure is one of those movies that has to be seen to be believed. Like, really. But I thought, I thought Michael Caine was ridiculous in the movie, but it's a ridiculous movie, so I would not pick The Hand. There are a lot of other movies that you can pick with Michael Caine in them where it's like here's a good actor giving a terrible performance. But for Robert De Niro, they picked The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. The Oscar winner is celebrated for his intense dramatic performances. It seems that he really wanted to make people laugh. He's had some success in comedy, like Midnight Run, for example, but Rocky and Bullwinkle proved to be a low point. The sight of him in the role of the fearless leader, booging idiotically with a cigarette holder jammed in his mouth, was quite a jolt. Sadly, this was De Niro's passion project, which he fought to make. He tries to lampoon Travis Bickle talking to me scene from Taxi Driver, but instead it just comes off like a geriatric crazy person with a Hitler haircut. Rocky and Bullwinkle. De Niro has made a lot of terrible movies. A lot of terrible movies. And Rocky Bullwinkle definitely is up there.
Throw Mama from the Train. Is he in that?
No.
Oh.
No, Throw Mama from the Train is a good movie. With Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito? That's a good movie. That's a good movie. DeVito directed that. And Ramsey? It's a takeoff of Strangers on the Train. It's hilarious.
I didn't particularly like
it. Oh, man, I love that movie. I think that movie's hilarious. That was the first movie DeVito directed. And he would go on to direct a lot of great movies. But he's not in Throw Mama from the Train. But he's in a bunch of crap. Like, you can just name, what was it, Dirty Grandpa? Is it Dirty Grandpa?
No, Danny DeVito, that's Robert De Niro.
That's what I'm saying, Grandpa. Robert De Niro.
He's not in that. It's him and Zac Efron.
Robert De Niro.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Robert De Niro.
I was thinking, you said Danny DeVito.
No, Robert De Niro.
Sorry. Robert, yeah, no, he's been in a ton of movies.
But yeah, this Dirty Grandpa. But the worst, as bad as Dirty Grandpa, and his Dirty Grandpa is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and it's one of his worst performances. But he's got a lot of that to choose from. There was a stretch of time where De Niro was doing a bunch of crap. The only good movie and great performance that he did in the middle of that whole stretch in the 2000s was Stone with him and Edward Norton. That was the only movie that he was great in that movie.
Why do you think he just decided to kind of just forget about being Robert De Niro?
Well, all that's going to go out the window when The Irishman comes out. Everybody's going to suddenly forget about all these movies and go, oh. You know, and they'll forget about all the crap that Pacino did, too. And the fact that Pesci hasn't been in a movie in 53 years. So, but anyway, De Niro for me, godsend is the worst. I mean, it's a terrible movie, and it's a laughably awful performance. De Niro is ridiculously bad in Godsend. So, let's see. We've got some more texts coming in. 312 area code says Kenneth Branagh chewing the scenery in Wild Wild West, which was a mere 3 years after Hamlet. Everything about Wild Wild West was bad, though. Not just Branagh, everything about that, except for Salma Hayek's butt, everything was bad about that movie. 630 area code says, good actors, bad movie, Josh Brolin, Michael Fassbender, Michael Shannon in Jonah Hex. Yeah, that's a terrible... Well, I mean, that barely even qualifies as a movie after what the distributors did to it.
What exactly did
they do? Oh, they cut the hell out of it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they chopped it all up. They took it away. I can't remember who the director was, but they took it away from the director and they cut it down. I mean, they chopped it up. They switched scenes around. I think it ran like 121 minutes originally. The original cut was over 2 hours. I think it's like 88 minutes or something now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't remember who the director was, but the director blames the studio. 847 area code says, I think Glenn Close was bad in Air Force One. I don't even remember her in Air Force One. Who'd she play in Air Force One? I don't know. It's another movie I can't stand that everybody likes, is Air Force One. Get off my plane. Shut up. I just don't. I've only seen that movie once.
She's the vice president.
Oh, she's the vice president.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. 815 area code says, John Cusack in 2012. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Cusack's made a lot of bad movies now recently. Mm-hmm. He's another guy who's in the straight to video stage of his career. 2012. What a terrible movie that was.
Just like, why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Money?
I guess so.
Roland Emmerich directed 2012, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I took a girl on a date to see that movie.
Oh, my God. Was there a second date?
No.
I didn't think so.
Thanks, Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Sally Field gets picked for Punchline. The Oscar-winning actress isn't funny. That's a problem when you're playing a stand-up comedian. It doesn't seem possible. Tom Hanks and Sally Field in a movie about comedy titled Punchline, and it's not funny. So. I actually think Tom Hanks is really good in Punchline. But the stand-up stuff's not very funny. The stand-up stuff's not very funny. You know why? You know who they got as their consultant on that movie? I'll never forget this. So they want a consultant because they're making a movie about stand-up comedy. All right? They're making a movie about a housewife who really wants to do, you know, wants to do stand-up comedy. Deep in her heart, she really wants to do it. And she goes out on her own and does it. Meets another comedian who is very, very successful, or at least popular in the stand-up world, played by Tom Hanks. He kind of falls in love with her despite the fact that she's married and she has a family, and he kind of loses his mind. Hanks is good in it. The movie's not great, but the problem is all of the stand-up in it is not funny. And the reason why is that their tech consultant on that movie is a comedian named Barry Sobel, who had a brief bit of popularity in the 80s and never should have. Barry Sobel was never funny, and he was their top consultant on that movie. And I remember when they were making the movie and they said, oh, they're consulting Barry Sobel on the stand-up scenes. I'm like, well, that's not going to be funny. And it wasn't funny. You want to get a stand-up comedian who's actually funny, who's a good stand-up comedian, to be your consultant on a movie that you're making about stand-up comedy. Now, I will say Taylor Negron was in it. You know Taylor Negron?
No.
You've seen Fast Times?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's the pizza delivery guy in Fast Times.
Oh, okay.
Stand-up comedian. He's passed away. He was brilliant. He was a
funny guy.
Brilliant and great in movies and really, really funny. He was in a really funny movie called Whoopi Boys with Paul Rodriguez and Michael O'Keefe, which is a really underrated, ridiculously funny movie from the 80s. But Taylor Negron, I love Taylor Negron. And I loved his stand-up, and I loved him in movies. And he does a small, teeny little set in the movie Punchline. That's the only funny stuff in the movie. Because it's his material, and Barry Sobel probably gave him notes, and Taylor Negron said, get away from me. So, all right, let's take a break here for some weather, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We're talking about when bad things happen to good actors. 312-981-7200. Wouldn't turn around and break it. And anyone who's ever played a part wouldn't turn around and hate it. Sweet. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, wrapping up 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right here on WGN. All right, talking about when bad performances and bad movies happen to good actors and good actresses. In this article that I'm looking at, Jodie Foster is next mentioned, and this is absolutely true, because Jodie Foster is one of my favorite actresses on the planet, one of my favorite humans that's ever lived, but she was terrible in Maverick, which was a terrible movie. Richard Donner directed it, and it was... Mel Gibson, who was it? James Garner was in it. Jodie Foster is the love interest. And this was a part that was actually turned down. This is how weird it is that Jodie Foster's in this movie. Because it's just weird casting. To have Jodie Foster play like the goofy love interest to Mel Gibson in a film version of a classic 60s TV show. And I don't understand why she's in it. I don't get it. But the thing that really kind of brings it all home is that this was a part that Meg Ryan turned down. So this is a part that was originally meant for Meg Ryan, who is about as opposite an actress as you can possibly get from Jodie Foster. So Meg Ryan turns it down, and Jodie Foster does it. And I remember, I mean, I thought the movie was so terrible. And it was just like Mel Gibson just doing wacky one-liners and hugely mugging it for the camera. And I thought the movie was terrible. Really, really terrible. And then there's even that ridiculous cameo from Danny Glover, who shows up with a bandana around his face, and then they do like a wacky, hey, look, it's Danny Glover, but you can't see his face. And look, it's the same director, and they're reuniting here with the Lethal Weapon guys. Terrible movie. Dustin Hoffman, they pick Billy Bathgate. I think Hoffman's been worse in other movies. I think he has. Billy Bathgate's not a great movie, but he's been worse. Jessica Lange, they pick King Kong. It was her first movie. It was her first movie, man. I mean, the movie's terrible. And she doesn't do much, but she's basically, it's not really her fault. It's a terrible role. She's trying to fill Fay Wray's shoes, and she was just eye candy in the whole movie. And of course, if you're a young Jessica Lange, of course you're going to take that part. There's no way you're going to turn it down. This is Dino De Laurentiis. This was a huge movie. I mean, when it came out in 1976, I don't think there was a bigger budgeted movie that was released that year. So you're not going to turn down a chance to star in one of the biggest budget movies of the year, in what could possibly be one of the most successful films of the year, playing a part that was originated by Fay Wray. I don't blame her for taking the role.
Hell, I would have taken that role.
Yeah.
My shapely self.
So, yeah.
And when it comes to Dustin Hoffman, I think you got to say Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. It's probably the worst thing he's ever been in.
Yeah, although I didn't hate that movie, but it's not good. Yeah. Yeah, Hoffman's been in some weird movies. in this article, here's a pretty controversial choice for these guys in the article. For Al Pacino, they picked Son of a Woman, for which he won the Academy Award, and I can understand that.
I think they're right.
Well, I think he's worse than Heat, but he's not. He shouldn't have won the Academy Award for Son of a Woman. That was one of those deals where, okay, you've done a lot of great movies here. We'll give it to you now.
If you don't like him in Heat, he's more or less doing a slightly toned down version of that in Son of a Woman.
Right, and I don't like Son of a Woman, but I think Heat is worse.
Oh my God,
Heat is embarrassing. His performance in the movie is embarrassing. For Meryl Streep, they picked She-Devil, which was a terrible movie. Have you ever seen that movie with her and Roseanne Barr?
She was in a movie with Roseanne Barr?
Yeah.
She-Devil.
She-Devil. Yeah, and she's not good in it. It's not a good movie. I want to say, who directed it? Susan...
Seidelman.
Seidelman, yeah. Directed it. Not good.
Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah. For Denzel Washington, they pick Man on Fire.
No.
I disagree. Yeah. I disagree.
Man on Fire is awesome.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. I don't think it's a great movie, but I think he's fine in it. I will tell you this. I don't know if Denzel Washington's ever been bad in a movie. I got to say. I'm thinking about it. I don't think Denzel Washington has ever been bad in a movie. Sigourney Weaver, they pick Ghostbusters?
Oh, no.
Are these people crazy? There is no Dana, only Zool. Come on, man.
She's great in it.
She's fantastic in that. Are you kidding me?
I mean, what's the justification?
Well, here, it's really short. It says, it's not easy being the straight woman for Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis, and the alien star just doesn't know what to do except affix a smile on her face and wait for an opportunity to deliver lines. That's wrong. That's so, so wrong. That is so wrong on so many levels. Sigourney Weaver's terrific in Ghostbusters.
She plays the part that she needs to play.
And she's really good in it. And when she's Zool, she's great when she's Zool.
There is no Dana. There is only
Zool. I've got a video on my phone that Dana sent me, my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. This was a bunch of months ago when I told her that I was screening Ghostbusters. She texted me back this video of her acting out. There is no Dana, only Zool. So, all right. Well, there it is. Sigourney Weaver was good in Ghostbusters. They're lying. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. Tomorrow morning we'll have Wild Card Wednesday and Know Your Onion. Another edition of Know Your Onion. Rick Geezer will be here for hockey sports songs, and we will pay tribute to Johnny Carson.